should have put a nice shirt on or something.
Yo, I'm in my fatty shirt right now. Fucking just nothing, just Dookie Brown. I was gonna try to make a chain that said tits, but I was like, man, I didn't have enough prep time, even though I was just sitting on my ass.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Yes, sir. Yo, real quick before we get started, quick common sense question I want to ask both of you brothers. Illegal downloads. Why do they charge someone $100,000, $250,000 per offense? Why not just charge the person the exact price of what they stole? Anybody?
Because they want to make an example.
You'd figure that, or they want to get some sort of bang for their intellectual property because they figure, shit, if we're missing this much money, I don't know if they equate it to, okay, well, that means you're more likely to download this than this amount of time, so your amount of, I don't know. It really,
No,
it is.
they know they're not going to get $1.5 million from some, soccer mom or some kid, or they know they're putting that person in eternal debt. And I'm not excusing the people that
Yeah.
download stuff,
Just took point is bad.
but the punishment is just, it's absurd,
Yeah.
and
And
it's
that's
just
why
to make a point because they know
yeah.
they're going to get that money unless they're
Not gonna get
sure.
it.
I doubt it.
But see, but
I know
even
that's,
then, though.
and that's what I think too. I think that they're trying to make an example because I think, I don't know. I just think it's fucking absurd. I think that's the reason why a lot of people don't take the shit fucking serious because it's like, okay, I downloaded this fucking 2 Chainz album and you're gonna charge me $1 million fucking because I downloaded this shit. It's fucking absurd. So I think that's the reason why people don't take the shit serious. I don't know. What was you gonna say, Popo?
Oh, just about that. I mean, I would get pissed off because if I gotta pay so much money, and let's say I downloaded a movie, now I don't get the fucking special features. I don't get the
Yeah.
goddamn commentary. I mean, I want.
Oh, Popo, you still there? Oh, Popo glitched out. Oh. I don't know what happened to Popo. Where you go, Popo? That nigga gone.
He's about to
That
make a
nigga
strong.
gone. Well, while he's booting that up, I'll go ahead and get the show started. Ladies and gentlemen and everyone in between, welcome to the IBHM podcast. I am your host, Arizona Verse, and with me somewhere, once he reboots his computer, is my dude and co-host, Soul Popo. I'm black, he's Mexican, but you should already know that, and welcome to the show. This is a podcast about nothing in particular, and we got a lot of shit to talk, but before any of that, go ahead and chime in. Our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Podomatic. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican. You can find us on all of your social media outlets, including Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube. Just simply add ibhmpodcast in the appropriate spot. If you don't want to do any of that, just head over to the website, ibhmpodcast.com, and you can find all of our links there. Now, if you want to hit me up, my main source of social media fuckery is Tumblr. You can find me at a different set of black.tumblr.com. And so Popo, who is lost somewhere in the cyberwebs right now, main source of so, and he just dropped off the fucking screen. He's probably reloading this shit now. So we'll get back to Soul Popo. But this week, we have a special, oh, and the nigga's calling me right now. Hold on, I'm going. Popo's calling me. Yo, what's good, son? Yeah, we still love you. I'll send you a invite. You should just be able to reload the shit and then log back in. Let me see. I'm going to send you another invite. And this is live right now. This is that live real life podcasting. All right, so I'm sending you another invite. Just click that. Let me see.
This is all too familiar.
Okay. Okay, I just said it. So yeah, just click that when you get it, okay? All right, for sure. And yeah, we are joined by special guest Trav Lord from the PW Torch East Coast cast. And you just had some issues this last Wednesday with your show. What? I don't even know what happened.
Well, apparently. I got word from editor in chief of the Torch, Wayne Keller, that Log Talk Radio on Thursday launched some kind of HD, like integration. My only thing is possibly, were they doing some kind of last minute Wednesday, on Wednesday.
Little updates and shit, yeah.
And I just got caught up in that.
I know, because I only got to get like 40 minutes into the show, and I saw you struggling trying to make that motherfucker work. Did you ever end up getting the shit?
Myself.
So the whole show ended up being you by yourself?
Well, no, then the VIP after show, we did 148 minutes, so almost 2.5 hours of just me. Rages. We had two VIP emails, but somehow we went almost 2.5 hours. So he was definitely anxious to talk because he didn't get to say nothing, obviously, the whole show. So, that was an adventure. Wow.
And I don't know where Papo is. I sent him the invite. I'm going to send it again, see what the fuck is going on. Go ahead, send another invite, see what's going on. So I guess we'll start off. Let the people know they are your main source of social media fuckery, how they could get in touch with you.
My main source is Facebook and Instagram, but Twitter too, because you know how it all works. If you post something on Instagram, you got to set up and go to this Twitter, Facebook. So you can just really find me at Trav Lord on any of those.
Yes, sir. And I don't know where Papo went. I think I'm going to give him another call real quick. He got me a little worried. I'm going to throw this shit on speakerphone. Go ahead, give this call. This is fucking live podcasting, ladies and gentlemen. Call motherfucking Papo on speakerphone, see what's going on. Do the whole fucking show with him on a fucking speakerphone on the cell phone. Oh shit, son.
It's always something.
I know. It's the beauty of technology. And now the nigga ain't gonna answer. What's going on?
He in a dead zone. Fallout shelter somewhere.
Oh, this nigga. I know one of them motherfucking wolves that you heard last time then caught up with his ass. Shit.
Something chewed through his cable or something.
Fuck. All right, I'm going to call him one more time, see what the fuck is going on. Shit.
Goddamn. At least we on.
Oh, no.
Oh. Last week.
Papo.
Yes, I'm here.
I got the speakerphone up to the mic. The fans want to know what happened to Papo.
Because my Google Chrome was fucking up.
Yo, something's up with Chrome because the same shit happened on my laptop. It kept saying the network was down, but my internet was up. So, yeah, something with Chrome and laptops right now. They're probably trying to listen in. Papo's in the building.
All right. I'm hanging.
All right. He's back. So that's the Mexican one, and that's my dude and co-host, Dick Papo, and his main source of social media fuckery is...
Is that my cue to talk? Soulpapo.tumblr.com. Soulpapo.
Yes, sir. So we're back in the building now. I believe so. Looks like the broadcast, we're live, we're going. So real quick, before we get into the show, I got a few shout-outs. We had some new Facebook lights, so I want to shout them out real quick. Shouts out to Lamont Stewart, formerly of the Brown Skin and Glasses podcast. It was one of my favorite podcasts, but they did a little one-year run, and then they called it quits, and they're going to do their own thing, and hopefully we can try to get Lamont and Rhett on a future show, see what they're up to. Also, shouts out to Magnolia Rogers, and shouts out to Michael Folks, our new Facebook light. So, yes, sir, thanks for that, and so let's officially get this motherfucking show started. So, yeah, how y'all doing? So real quick, Trav, I wanted you to bring up your annual Bosnia trips, man. I want you to educate the people on what's going on with that, and just let us know.
Well, the last two summers I spent some time in Bosnia Herzegovina on an archaeological dig. excavating the that pyramid valley that was discovered there 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Are you like a modern day Indiana Jones?
Yo, he had the hat though. Yo, he had the Indiana Jones hat.
I think I saw it on the pic.
Yeah, I spent when I was at there's this store we have, I Goldberg, and it's like a Army Navy store. And I spent more money. You know, like this had their similar, but I was like, nah, this one looks like more like the Indiana Jones hat. And I put the other one back and spent the extra, like, I don't know, $8-$10 or whatever, and got the like authentic looking hat. But yeah, I was Pennsylvania Bryant in the building over a year.
Yes, sir.
You know, 5,000 miles away. So
yeah,
that's fucking dope.
And it was a life changing experience.
Oh, that was dope. So how was it out there? Because honestly, I remember I worked with a Bosnian woman once, adorable, bulimic. She's woman of my dreams, and you know, she was telling me about the war that they had out there. And I guess that's why I guess there's refugees or whatever. Like, how was it out there?
Well, the war ended in, I don't know, 2000?
Right.
If that, 99, you know, before Clinton. I think Clinton ended it, or, I mean, in quotes. But I think he was around when it ended. I'm not too sure on the years, but the war's been over almost 15 years.
Okay.
And had a long time to rebuild. I mean, it's still evident some buildings are still, you know, kind of messed up and, you know, but it's just a city. It's just a place. And people go about their business and cars are all over the place. And there's a bakery every goddamn half a block. You know, it's like you can't find a loaf of bread like how we know it.
Yeah.
Like,
it's the whole brick.
It's a bread. Like you would get looked at like, what the hell? I don't know. It's like, you know, I want to, you know, and they come in all shapes, all sizes, you know. You know, just to, I would take just a can of tuna, give me a loaf of bread, take it to the site.
That's
tone.
Crazy.
That's no such thing as slices, right?
Tuna sandwich.
I'm saying they don't have actual slices there. You just get a whole goddamn.
Oh, there was
loaf
no, yeah, no. You gotta do it yourself.
Okay.
You want slices?
Well, I'm curious. All right. So, I mean, weather-wise, how the hell is it out there?
It's just like it is here on the East Coast. Like it's when it's like now it's cold over there and snowy.
Okay.
So it's, you know, they have a traditional, you know, weather cycle, summer.
Like
winter,
spring. And I guess I shouldn't even say, I was about to say like us, but I guess it's not.
No. That's why I specified, you know,
East Coast, yeah.
not the desert.
Yeah. I'm sitting here. I just had to turn the fucking AC on. Yo, I had to just turn. I got the AC and the motherfucking fan on because it's a little warm in here.
Yo,
so,
I'm outside in this motherfucker and it's hot. Like I had to find a little piece of shade out here because it's fucking hot. I think we have a high of 84 today.
You're my young species, you're on.
I'm jealous, man. I've always wanted to. I always want to live in the East Coast just so I could walk around some Timberlands in a big ass puffy coat. You know
I know.
Like, yo, like an East Coast rapper.
Yo, I grew up on the 90s, that late 90s East Coast rap. And yo, I so wanted to be in New York and be like DMX and Jay. And with, yeah, just like you said, with the Timbs and the fucking, what is it, the bubble, what they call it, the bubble goose or some shit. Man, I wanted to do that shit. Man. But yeah, I'm out here in AZ with this thin ass fucking blood, so. So, I guess we'll start on the first article. I saw this shit. I guess it's on mediaite.com, mm-hmm. And a man got banned from the internet after sending naked men to his neighbor's house.
Mm-hmm.
As the story goes, apparently a Wisconsin man has been banned from the internet for, and I guess that is possible. Mm-hmm. Shouts out to Obama. After harassing a neighbor by sending gentlemen callers to her, to her house through Craigslist, Jason Willis was arrested and took a plea deal this week, but one of the provisions of the deal is that he cannot use the internet at all. And if he goes online at all in any way, he could end up serving time in prison. So, they banned the niggas from the internet now, so.
Wow.
You watch out.
I mean, it's harsh, but it's like, hey, buddy. You know, I mean, that's a terrible, terrible precedent.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think, you know, it's one thing when hackers use the internet and use computers to do stuff. But he, you know, it's, I think it's just different. He's just, he's a pervert and has, you know.
He's trolling. Yeah.
Well, see, what ended up happening too, because I heard about the story a little while ago, and it was more like, I guess he apparently had beef with the bitch. I don't know if he was trying to holler at her and she kind of disregarded him or whatever like that. And so he just did, you know, a couple, I remember I saw the link that you sent, somebody, there being half naked people. I mean, I don't know how true that is. Motherfuckers were just walking out there naked. So I don't know how what happens when you get Craigslist hookups. I mean, I done looked, but I never done touched. So I'm not too sure if he just arrived there naked, or if he kind of had to, you know, talk your way into it. But I mean, Prince just had a lot of dude visitors. And I mean, and to be a woman who lives by herself, a bunch of strange ass motherfuckers knocking at your door.
Oh my god, all these dicks keep coming.
Like, think of, what movie was it? Sounds like what?
No, my bad, go ahead.
No, I'm trying to remember the fucking movie. It was with Vince Vaughn, Will Ferrell, one of the Owen brothers. Fucking drawing a blank. It was the Todd Phillips movie.
You said Vince Vaughn. Fuck. Not Wedding Crashers.
Pre that.
Shit, I don't even know.
How the fuck am I forgetting? Come on, Trev.
No, I don't do movies, Holmes.
Nah? Fuck, it was pre-Hangover. It was, shit, what was it where Will Ferrell says his line about, it tastes so good when it hits your gums. It was, fuck.
Was it Old School?
Old School, there we go, Old School. There's
old
a line
school. Okay.
Where Todd Phillips, the director, makes a cameo and he goes, I'm here for the gangbang? And it was just one of those things like, how the fuck do you, you know, say, hey, I'm here for the fuck party. Is this the right place? I mean.
And I'm not even going front, because I've been on Craigslist. I done looked through there and looked at some of those ads. And yeah, you'll see some of those where it'd be like, here's this address at this time. I just need 20 fucking long dicks in my ass at the same time. And I'm just like, I couldn't even imagine like seeing that online and being like, yo, I got to go be number 19 over there. I got to get in that shit. Like, I couldn't
first
do it.
First come,
man.
First serve. I gotta get in this motherfucker ASAP. How do I RSVP for this shit? Man, it's weird.
I don't even think I want to be first.
You don't want to be first?
Yeah, we go back to the locker room like when you're done, like, or do you like watch everybody else? Like, what happens then?
I'm just sitting around. I'm gonna watch
again. I'll catch up with y'all.
Is there a green room? Like, you know, everybody go later.
Now I feel like, yo, number 8 got a cramp, but let me tag back in. Shit. Hold up.
I left you some snacks on the table. I didn't eat it all. Craft services is still here, you know, if you want to get in on it.
Yo, and I saw this video that reminded me that fucking website. What is it? E-Fucked? Is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, yo, you seen E-Fucked?
Yeah, oh, that's my shit. I fucks with the E-Fuck. They had one. What? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was in, and my boy Chris put me onto it, and he showed me a really fucked up video that we actually entitled one of the girls that we worked with. they used that one song, the one that everybody did, the half-assed version of the, what's that dance where people just kind of shake around, they're not really doing shit? The wannabe
Harlem Shake.
Yeah.
Oh, the white people Harlem Shake.
Yeah, the white people Harlem Shake. Oh, and there's a video where I guess this dude, like, he'll, I don't know if they're bloopers, but he'll fucking, like, as he's getting head from a bitch, and I guess
I know which one you're talking about.
They have that song playing, and he's like, just gagging the fuck out of her. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, God. Like a chick would be doming him up, and then, like, he'd wrap his leg around and put her in, like, a triangle lock, and then had the chick, like, gagging on his dick, and I was like, yo, that's fucked up, yo, but.
And you just hear the song, Terrorista. Whatever the fuck the song goes. I thought she was hilarious. Cause one thing I will say, cause I never stripped the site. I just looked at the one link that my homie sent me, or when he showed me it. And it's kind of weird. It's kind of awkward to watch porno with the homie. Not really. I was. But when he was playing the shit though, and like, I love how he demeans the fuck out of women. I think that's how you treat prostitutes and porn stars. You don't give them any praise. You're there to demean them and defile them and show their daddies how big of a fuck up they raised. You know?
That's exactly what it is. But no, I saw one, and it was like one of them gangbang ones, and I guess this chick, her twat stanked or something like that, because like the cameraman and everybody, they went like backstage, and they were talking about how bad she smelled, and then like one of the cameramen came to the back and started throwing up, and then one dude, he went into the back room, and he got I guess he was like the producer of the porn, and he went and he got a douche, and he came, and he like tapped her on the shoulder, and pointed her to go to the bathroom with the douche. I was weak.
That's all bad. Get for eating out some pussy after being cummed in there twice. You know what I mean? Like, that's your bad.
Her, but they standing there filming it, and like that's what they're doing.
That's what they do.
You're paid for this.
And speaking of what people do, did y'all see this motherfucking story? I just saw this morning. It's on the NY Post. Apparently, cops hit this dude's car and then arrested him. So apparently how the story goes...
He's a black guy, right?
Oh, of course. Of course, well,
yeah. Justified.
Fucking apparently two Brooklyn cops sideswiped a parked SUV, then arrested a man sitting in the passenger seat of the vehicle, accusing him of damaging their car. And apparently the officers would have gotten away with their life, but there was a security camera. It says Robert Jackson, 31, told the Post his nightmare began when a police car heading the wrong way on a one-way street scraped against a parked Ford Explorer, which belonged to his girlfriend. Jackson, who is a maintenance worker, said he was sitting in the legally parked car outside of his apartment when the accident happened. He got out of the vehicle and walked up to the officers. He claims that he was smiling and was like, "How'd you run into me?" And then the cop said, "Dude, you ran into me." And so apparently there's video footage of it, and they show, yeah, the SUV is parked, the cop sideswipe, hit the nigga, blamed him, and he got arrested. So yeah, thanks cops. Yeah.
I always refer back to don't be a man to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood. I was arrested for being black on a Friday night. It was a misdemeanor, so I was let go right away.
That was good. They let me go after that. But
how do you not, as a cop, not know that? You know, I mean, you know that there's probably some kind of footage of this.
Yeah.
Apparently, in the article, it talked about how he scanned the perimeter to check and see if there was cameras, but there was just that one fucking camera that got the perfect fucking view of all that went down, and that's how they were able to say, "Motherfucker, you lying."
Even if it was somebody that started filming after the crash.
Yeah.
To show, all right, you can see the guy's parked. He didn't scoot in there real quick.
Yeah.
And, you know, and... Even that, I mean, it's like, why would you, like, man, you're risking a lot to cover up, you know, scraping a guy's car, you know, a girl's car, a woman's car. Like, okay, big deal. I mean, I guess that's not a big deal if you're, like, in this precinct and you're gonna, you know, you're responsible for that, but jeez. It's a lot to risk.
It's about saving your ass, covering your ass. You can't get, no, who the fuck was getting in trouble? You know what I'm saying?
But you, like, and it's, but it's crazy though, because how, and I'm not trying to be anti-cops. I know there's some good cops out there. There's some bad cops. But, like, cops are so protected in certain situations. Like, you could just take the L, be like, yo, you know, I accidentally sideswiped him, write up a ticket real quick, and it should be, like, no big-ass deal. Cops done killed plenty of motherfuckers and then beat motherfuckers' asses and then had cameras on them and then got away with it. I don't know why he felt the necessary need to know, yeah, I got to make this be your fucking fault. So, yeah, that shit is wild, yo.
It's all about getting coverage, and I'm gonna send, I sent y'all both the link right now if y'all want to click on it on FB.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure, and I didn't see the notes, so I'm not too sure if this is gonna be covered or not, but this.
That bottom link is, I don't know if, your notes have the right information. I'll see once we get down there.
I didn't make it to that, but well, let's, I want to just bring it up if we can, and we can bring it up. I'm not too sure. I'm pretty sure it's national news. I'm not too sure. About the, because I know I saw a lot of people complaining about this online, and I have a lot of fucking gay atheist friends, not including Travi, on Facebook that were complaining about this shit, saying how it's wrong and how.
Wait, did you just call Trav a gay atheist?
No. I just.
I'm more mad at the atheist part.
The atheist part.
I'm just jabbing a little bit, but I saw a lot of people complaining about how, like, this one fucker, and I used to be part of this poetry thing that I got kicked out because of how openly I speak. And so I got kicked out of a goddamn poetry club. Can you believe that shit? But anyways, one of the guys I'm still friends with, and he was, I guess he's a parent. I thought he was just gay. Apparently he's an openly bisexual man. And he was just complaining. He's like, I now know that Arizona doesn't want me around. I'm like, motherfucker, first of all, because all the gays are getting really up about this. This bill, and I don't know what it's called, SB something, but apparently the gays are taking a fucking...
All these fucking Arizona laws keep starting with SB, but go ahead.
All right. Yeah. And I know Skips wasn't feeling it. She was one of those that said that she was appalled by it. And honestly, this is a fucking bill that just, because everyone's so lawsuit trigger happy, this is just a way to protect businesses from fucking getting in trouble for declining services. I know most businesses, they can deny, you know how back in the day you'd be like, oh, I can deny, no shirt, no service, or whatever like that. Same thing. I mean, we can deny services to whoever the fuck we want. Like, if, you know, if a wedding cake place doesn't want to make it because, you know, for whatever, whether it be religious or just whatever sort of ethical views that they have, that they don't want to support it, it should be their right not to do it, you know? So to me, it's a freedom. It's a freedom. It's a freedom law. You know what I mean? Like, we should be able to do whatever the fuck we want. If you want to deny services,
It's weird. I'm just skimming over the article because I didn't get a chance to read it neither. It says that, whereas that this bill may also open the door to discriminate based on race, family status, religious status, national origin, age, or disability. I think the main thing, because I do agree that, I'm trying to figure out the best way, because I do agree that there are certain things that are taken too far. Where, like, because I've said the same thing. Like, I got a friend of mine that I used to work with, and he's against interracial relationships, and like when I'm with a white girl, and when he found out that the white chick got a white chick pregnant, he was a little disappointed, but it wasn't on some old like, well, fuck you, it's just this is my beliefs, I'm not gonna force my beliefs on you, so you know, it is what it is. I think the main issue though, and it's happened so much in Arizona, is it seems like a lot of laws are trying to get passed to protect white people. It's all these laws are that white people have the right to, I don't like how you look or what you think or who you're fucking, and so I'm going to stop giving you the right to purchase my goods or to come to this area or come to that. And I think it's just, I don't know, it's, I get what you're saying with the side of it that that, you know, as a business, you should have the right to do this and to do that because it is your business. But then on the other side of it, it just, unfortunately, it's a lot of white people trying to stop other people from having the same access to the resources that they have. And I think that's just kind of the fucked up side of it. So what do you think, Trav?
Well, it's a tricky one because it is about, you know, freedom, and you should have the right to, you know, to be a bigot.
So, yeah, basically.
And I think it's best if you know who the bigots are.
Yes.
Right? So you can not support those bigots. Yeah. Why would you let your cake be made by this guy or this company that doesn't, you know, that has disdain for you, not don't like you, that they have, you know, some moral disdain for you, which is the greatest, you know, most, you know, powerful kind of, you know, that somebody could have, you know, for somebody else. When they have this, you know, this authority, this, you know, I've got backup.
So, exactly.
Kind of idea. It's just like, all right, well, why I want to give you financial,
why would I want to help you financially? And actually, Chris Rock put it the best because he had that joke about, at least back in the 60s, you knew who the racist people were. Like, because we are in like a PR area now where, because like I remember going back to when the shit happened with Kramer, when Kramer went on that nigger rant, stick a fork up in your nigger's ass, all that shit at the Laugh Factory. I remember that very next day at work, me being the only black guy that worked at this place, I was always the spokesperson for black people. Like, how do black people think about this? Well, I can't tell you how black people think about this, but I can tell you what I think about it. And I had told him, I was like, I'm never as upset about like the racial shit that someone says. I'm more upset at the apology. Because it's like, what you said, you meant what you said, and you don't mean that apology. You're just trying to save your ass when you apologize. And so it's like, and like you said, like, if you don't like gay people, if you don't like black people, if you don't like interracial couples, then by all means, that's your right to do it. But it would be best if I do know who those people are. So then if I don't agree with you, then I could just stop fucking with you and you let the public market decide. It was the same shit going back to Paula Deen. When Paula Deen got in all that trouble, I got into a conversation with someone and I was like, I don't necessarily think they should have fired her off the jump. You let whoever feels that way, let them rock with her. And the people who, oh, this is how she is, I'm gonna stop fucking.
It's also Food Network or whoever she works for is right to go, this bitch is poison. We gotta get, we can't have, you know, sure, her base and, you know, that eats fucking butter dipped everything are gonna be like, yahoo. But, you know, if you want, if we want any kind of crossover where the money is, you know, appeal, we can't have this. We can't have half our audience going, being uncomfortable or just not watching and we being associated and condoning that or being thought to condone that by continuing to employ her. So I understand the Food Network, you know, like, hey, you gotta, you know, that's...
You know you're fucking up, right?
Bottom line, all that stuff.
And that is the thing, because I do agree, because there's a lot of subjects like this where I think a lot or a majority of people always take a black or white stand, saying that either they lean hard to the left or hard to the right. And I think a lot of things, there's like many shades of gray. Like, you can't just be like, either I believe this story, either side A or side B. Like, there's just so many fucking shades of gray in between it. And like you said, yeah, Scott, it's best to know who the bigots are. And if somebody chooses that, this is what I think and this is what I believe, then believe that and then just let the public decide if they want to keep fucking with you or not. So,
like, when the whole chicken fillet fiasco should happen, I'm not too sure if it was in Arizona, if it happened, if it was
I think that was nationwide. I think that was nationwide.
Okay. Like, when that happened, I thought to myself, this is fucking awesome. Hey, I want to go support them now. Why? Because there's going to be a bunch of dykes out there trying to pick it and try to, you know, talk all this shit. I can catch these little butterflies.
Bobby, one of these pale-skinned dykes, yo. That shit is funny. And that was the thing, too, even going back to Chick-fil-A. I remember when they came out and they made their statements about gay people. Like, I wasn't surprised, because I would imagine that that company is a religious-owned company, because they're always closed on Sundays. And so then when that story came out, it wasn't a surprise. It's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what they think because of how they run their business. So, I don't know. It's, yeah, it's funny.
It's out in public. We can do whatever the fuck we want with it. I mean, and I guess that's our right to bitch about it. And hence why we're talking.
Yeah.
I guess. Let's move on to more pressing matters.
Speaking of more pressing matters, Mr. Kanye West, and I had strong opinions about this, but I guess the case got settled. The assault victim, he gave him $250,000.
I should have fucked up for that much money.
It says that apparently Kanye West has paid $250,000 to a man who was accused, who accused him of beating him up. The 36-year-old rapper became the focus of a battery investigation after he reportedly chased the 18-year-old into a chiropractor's office, punched him, and the teen, after the teen apparently hurled racial slurs at Kanye's fiance. And so yeah, the TMZ reported that they came to an agreement. He paid $25,000 and or $2,500,000 and all that. And this, I have strong feelings. Straight cash. They're gonna make it rain on him. But no, fucking, I still stand by the fact that we, as Americans, we hold these celebrities up to a higher than thou status, or however you want to put it. And I think it's silly that Kanye has to pay $250,000 for standing up for somebody fucking being rude towards his wife. It's just kind of this whole thing of being a celebrity, you're supposed to put up with the shit. Like, what was it? And I think I brought this up on the last episode, or in one of those last episodes. It was going back to that Nicole Kidman thing, when she was trying to walk into that fucking restaurant or something, and that paparazzi dude was on his bike and mowed the bitch down and all that. It's just like,
couldn't have defended her, right? Dudes defended her, and then she got in trouble because they beat her. Paparazzi's ass on her behalf?
No, I think that was Roseanne. That was the Roseanne situation when somebody beat somebody up on her regard. But no, Nicole
Kidman. Roseanne?
Yeah, Roseanne and her story.
People go hard for Roseanne like that?
Of course, it's Roseanne Barr. Everybody fucks with a little Roseanne. You know,
even Arnold didn't fucking fight for that bitch, and he was married to her for a while.
But no, I think the Nicole Kidman, I didn't follow the story, but I had just saw the video when she had got mowed down going into a store. And I just couldn't imagine living a lifestyle where everywhere you go, people are trying to hop over your fence and take pictures of your baby and crawl through your window and let me keep harassing you and pushing you. And then when you react, you see, he hit me. And so I need some money now. It's just, fucking America is silly. That's basically what it comes down to. We're some silly motherfuckers out here. We put these celebrities up on a higher regard than they need to be. And I, it's like a double-edged sword. Cause on one side, these people are millionaires and all that. And so it's like kind of boo-hoo. I mean, you lost a quarter of $1 million, but you have way more millions of dollars in your pocket. But then on the other side of it, I just kind of sympathize. Cause at the end of the day, a lot of these people are still human, and no human should have to be fucking harassed all the damn time and just put up with it. So
this is why my heart goes out to George Zimmerman.
This motherfucker. Hey, Georgie's coming up. Georgie's coming up later on in the show. I was going to save that for last time. Steph got real emotional during our that debate last time. That was a good debate, though, on good old Georgie on the last episode. Oh,
she herself is also a nigga lover, so who knows? of course she's going to get real defensive. I feel for her.
Oh shit. But yeah, so that was just a quick recap of bringing back up with the whole Kanye West thing. But a more pressing thing that is happening in the world of hip hop right now is good old Nicki Minaj caused quite a stir since our last episode. Nicki Minaj, for those who don't know, put out she had a single coming out called Looking Ass Nigga, and
it's not an official single.
Yeah. See, but that's bullshit. That's such bull. It is a cheat. Oh,
that's not an official single that they made a full on high budget music video for.
Exactly. That was the thing that killed me, because she was like, oh, that was just a generic cover and it's not even an official single, but yet you did this high definition big fucking video for it. Like, no, bitch, that was the single, and now you're just backtracking after people are getting upset. And it's one of those things, once again, me being the quote unquote, I don't like using a word, but me being the conspiracy theorist or whatever, that it's all this shit is on purpose. Cause this shit, once again, going back to the whole Trayvon Zimmerman thing and Zimmerman doing the celebrity fight and how the shit got announced on Trayvon's birthday. And this shit got announced during not only Black History Month, but the month that Malcolm X got assassinated on. And so it's like this shit, this is on purpose. They're doing this shit on purpose. They're playing with us. But
you know, I supposed to believe she came up with that.
Fuck yeah. No, that's the thing too. Yeah, because it's not her. It's she's the puppet on a record label, and it's the record label that's telling her what to do, and they're making these ideas and all that. And I told this to many people going back to my days when I was performing all the time and doing music and all that. And I used to have conversations with people, and they were like, "Oh, well, why don't you just put this out, and this is how you can blow up and all that." It's like it's not that simple, because you see, and I'll use Jay-Z as an example. Jay-Z blew up. It wasn't just Jay-Z. It was Jay-Z and it was a team of people behind him. Same thing with Young Money right now. The reason why Young Money is so huge is because they have the right team around them. Go back before Young Money, when Aftermath was popping with Eminem and 50 and Dre. It's the team. Like, you only have a couple of faces that are on the actual camera, but there's a team of people behind them who are writing shit, who are doing art design, they're doing video design, they're coming up with ideas and so on and so forth. And this is her team that decided to do this, and she's just standing up for the bullshit because she don't want to look like she's not making her own decisions in her career. And she's a piece of shit. I hated her from fucking day one. Fuck her. And this is just more of a reason for me to be like, fuck this bitch. I can't stand it.
Well, just like our president, I mean, just a puppet, yo. You know what I mean? They injected. Yeah. I mean, we don't know if this is a real astronaut. That's not the point. But whatever, she's just this marketed black Barbie doll. You know what I'm saying? That's meant to fucking lure us in lust and get bitches shaking. I mean, it's just that's all it is. And how I mentioned before, and I think I might have put it on our Facebook. Honestly, think of Nicki Minaj's fan base.
Yeah.
Think about the young black children who idolize her. How many of them actually know who the fuck Malcolm X is? And so they're not offended.
We know the statistics of
buys records,
consumes hip hop, and
little white girls.
Not all, you know, the young. Yeah, sure, the black kids that listen to it are, you know, but half the, or if not more, of the product is consumed by white kids and white people.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not, you know, you focus on you know, the black part, but she's this crossover superstar. She's got, yeah, you know, the voted or whatever, the most influential female rapper of all time, which she is. You know, you might think Lil' Kim is better, but Lil' Kim didn't have the reach and the appeal that Nicki Minaj does. And, yeah, you know, she's, you know, on Ellen. You know, when I saw her on Ellen and those two little girls that are always on Ellen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, who did her song?
Love her. And I'm like, why is Ellen promoting? Why is Ellen putting, like, hey, let me introduce you to this, you know,
this whore. Bullshit.
Yeah, and just this.
Listen, white America, look what's going on in the streets. And possibly see, and your cul-de-sacs.
And that's the thing that I've brought up so many times. It just drives me nuts. Me being, I am a hip hop head. The majority of the music I listen to is hip hop. And it drives me nuts when I get in these conversations with like older people who are outside of the hip hop generation. And they're talking about like how poisonous all of hip hop is. And it's like, no, the poison is the mainstream shit that's getting, being put out. And like I always say, 100% of record label owners are middle-aged, suburban, corporate white men. The 95% of the people picking what songs are playing on the radio, these are all, the hip-hop is being controlled by a bunch of people who are outside of the spectrum of hip-hop who don't fucking understand it, and then it's being consumed by 60% of the people who are white kids from the suburbs who are just trying to be cool and all that, and like, it's all, and then it's the black community getting blamed for, oh, look how they're trying to poison the kids and all that, when no, it's your kids are the one who are buying it. Is those kids' parents who are putting that shit out. And I always say, like, if I, you have an older white Republican guy who grew up listening to fucking, I don't even know, Rolling Stones or some shit, and let's say he gets a job as a record label owner or something, he's doing something with A&R and all that, and they're like, we're gonna have you be the head of the urban division, and so, okay, we need you to find the next big hip-hop act, and he's like, thinking to himself, like, I don't even listen to hip-hop, I don't know what the fuck this is about, so let me see, okay, well, they like to be disrespectful to women, they like to sell drugs and all that, so okay, I'm gonna find somebody who does all that shit, because I don't know nothing about this culture. I don't give a fuck about learning anything about this culture. So I'm going to keep putting out this bullshit that fucking sells. And once again, yeah, and it's not our
algorithm. And
yeah, and it's not the hip hop generation who are buying it. So it's just, I get emotional about hip hop. It pumps in my blood. And I hate to see it in the state that it is now. And it slowly, we lost control of it a long fucking time ago. And we're paying the price of it.
It's just like crack in the 80s.
Yeah.
It's like, and guns and all that kind of stuff. It's like, are there some kind of, urban inner city airports that I don't know about, some kind of frogmen and submarine stuff that the hood got that I don't know about, because how is this shit getting in here?
Yeah.
How do they even get a chance to get their hands on kilos of cocaine, on machine guns and what we're talking about now? Like, just go always, alright. Something, you know, the establishment is allowing that. It's promoting
that. Exactly.
It's not an accident. I mean, I disagree a little bit with that exec. I don't think he knows enough about it. Like you said, like, okay, I know they like this, I know they like that. But I'm gonna put out and we're gonna give the most glitz and attention to the worst ones, like the guy when he's like they talk about, like Ice Cube, when he left NWA, he went and got more conscious. They went and got
more ignorant,
and more ignorant, and they got more money thrown at them, and you know, that was what they were pushing. That's not what's necessarily, you know, the public wanted, even in a sense. I mean, it was just, that's what's being pushed, that's what's being promoted.
I know, and going back to the NWA. Yeah, and going back to the NWA, that was like a double-edged sword, because like before then, like hip hop, it was a lot more partying, and there was a, you know, a lot of conscious cats and all that. And when NWA,
oh, their first stuff was okay. I mean, they had stuff, and then it was like, yeah, we need you to talk about shooting prostitutes in the backseat of your car and fucking. And not that that wasn't a, you know, a little underline, but just goes hard with the crime.
Yeah, exactly.
And
when it, first came out, the whole point of it was just them talking about what was going on in LA. Like, yo, racial tensions are crazy in LA right now. This shit is about to explode, which it did end up exploding into the LA riots and all that. And then you got so much, cause like before then wasn't no record labels really fucking with hip hop like that. Like they weren't putting any money into it. But then when that NWA shit popped off and they saw how big fucking record, or not record labels, but politicians were talking about it, and just the overall bad press, if you will, got so fucking huge, they were like, oh, we could make money off this if we keep just making this fucking disrespectful, crazy ass, over the top, edgy ass, hardcore gangster music. And then you got, the more people were talking about it, the bigger and bigger it got, and so on and so forth. I think it was just a snowball effect where eventually it was like, well, this is the only thing that's going to sell. We're not going to try to go back the other direction.
Or people's, if you buy into that, the conspiracy of that hip hop meeting in the early 90s, late 80s, it happened, you know, where you got people from private prison, companies there, like, yeah, we're going to need you to make really awful, destructive music because we got fucking prisons to fill. Yeah. And we need to indoctrinate an entire.
And Popo, did you ever hear about that story?
No, but I can just imagine, we have all this crack that we need to push. Can we sprinkle on the music?
That was the whole thing. It's all this crack. It's all these private prisons. And by having privatized prison systems makes it to, you have a need, a market to have prisoners. So, okay, let's keep marijuana illegal. Let's pump all these drugs into the fucking neighborhoods and the ghettos. Let's keep the jobs out of those ghettos and all that. So these people are trying to get away from their problems by doing all these damn drugs to ease the pain, if you will. And then outside of that, then we're going to keep arresting these people, and then we're going to pump them with this ignorant music, and this is what it means to be a real nigga in the streets. You need to be like this and do these criminal activities. And then you just create a cycle of bringing people into the fucking prison system, and they're getting paid off of it. There's no need that the fact that any prison is privatized and you can make money off of the amount of prisoners in there is complete and utter bullshit.
It's just, I mean, it is a business.
It's a backwards way of having a functional society. Like, you incentivize terribleness. Like, that's like those people, again, I mean, when you have those cells to fill, you're going like, hey man, I need that bump in stock for this quarter. You know, come on, Ratchet, we got quotas to fill. You know?
Exactly. That's what it is though. Honestly, Phil, that's what it is. And, I mean, it can go the same way towards, I mean, that's the way, let's say pharmacies, you know, taking this medication, what cures this, it also gives you the shits, it gives you this and gives you that, so you gotta get this other medication to go with it. And same thing with, kind of keeping the economy running, you know, we gotta keep these hoes producing, so we gotta make sure, you know, that they out there, you know, fucking, alright, how do we do that? Oh, well, let's get them dancing, dirty dancing, you know, we gotta, there's so many things that they gotta do in order for them to get into that. And, I mean, I think that's what keeps the economy going. That's what keeps new cars and coming every fucking year, even though we have more cars than there are fucking people that can afford them. I mean, just, you know, it's just a way of making money. You know? That's why I'm just a dirty hippie that's too broke to afford a goddamn thing. And I say, fuck it all.
It is America the Beautiful. And I call me a, what is it, a pessimist or whatever. The way America is running, this shit is not going to last that much longer. Going back to, you know, I love reading history and all that, and reading Rome and how fantastic and great Rome was and all that, and Rome was destined to crash, and to crash hard because of the way they had the system set up. That shit was not going to sustain itself. And that's exactly what we're experiencing right now with America. I don't know if it'll be in our lifetime or if it'll be in 100 years from now, but this shit is falling the fuck apart.
And by the time this shit happens, we'll be able to live on the new earth, and all the white and privileged people who are, or the rich, whatever, they're gonna be able to move on up there. We'll be fucked.
Who are on Elysium?
What's up?
They're gonna be on Elysium on their little.
I still ain't seen that shit, yo. I still want to see that shit.
No, when I saw it, I said, "That's Ringworld,
right?
Yeah. That's exactly not exactly, because Ringworld was sick. What it had, it was 600 million miles around and has 1 million miles of surface space. Yeah, the Ringworld structure, and that's the book, the series.
Yeah. And I was going to say that, yo, because I got to check that out, because y'all niggas done brought it up so many times on the show, and I'm like, I kept missing what the name of it was, and yeah. I was like, I don't know what the fuck this is, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah, no, it was just, it was a constructed planet, but again, it was a ring, you know, like imagine a penny sitting on its side, you know, standing straight up, but hollow, you know, just a wedding ring standing on the side.
Okay.
And it's 600 million miles around the band, the ring itself, and has 1 million miles of surface space. It was so big that over the Great Oceans, they had a 1-to-1 scale. It was the map of Earth. They had another one that was the map of Mars and the map of Kazin, another planet that was in. So it's like 1-to-1 Earth, so it's just Earth. And Mars is hanging out over an ocean on this ring world place. I gotta check that shit out. The scale was ridiculous. And it's absurd. It's tremendous. It is a tremendous listen, especially if you got the audio book. It's really fun.
And shouts out to audible.com. That's sponsored by the PW Torch, where you could go ahead and cop some of that ring world. You like that plug? Oh, shit. But, going back to Nikki, fuck that bitch and, all the poison that she fucking stands for. And yeah, I've hated her from day one. The only thing she's ever done that I respected was the verse on Monster that showed me what she was lyrically capable of doing. But their job isn't to sell hip hop. It's for her to be the crossover hip hop version of Lady Gaga. And yeah, she's going to keep fucking being ignorant and who cares? Cause she's still going to sell 1 million fucking records. And yeah.
Yeah. You know, I started laughing because it really quick, because I don't want to fucking talk about this bitch anymore. We should switch subjects. But when it comes to most hip hop thing, it is all about product placement. And because the one people that I was actually waiting for, maybe because of my fascination for white women, but Fergie, she was supposed to be backed by some kind of perfume fragrance thing that I don't know if it came from France or whatever. Yeah. That was supposed to be the main theme of what her album was. Like, it was her main just supporters or investors or like that. I'm not sure if they pulled out. The album never came out. They never fucking pushed whatever the fuck the product it was. But I mean, that's what she is, and that's what, you know, she's just a pusher. You know what I mean?
They probably gave up on Fergie and gave that perfume contract to Lady Gaga with the sperm and her blood and this shit.
That's where Papa was going with it, but I missed that he was talking about Fergie. But yeah, what the fuck kind of demon, devilish, fucking occultist shit is that? Putting your damn blood and some spunk in a perfume.
I want to be everywhere, and that's the only way I can spread my seed.
Teenage girls putting that shit on them, and what the fuck kind of sick shit are people into?
Apply to vagina twice daily. I don't know what kind of fucking sort of shit I had on there, but let's move on, yeah?
That shit is wild.
We're still in February, right?
Yes, we're still in February, and as my, only get fucking, 1 month of Black History Month, the rest of the year is White History Year,
I guess. 28 days, be happy, sometimes 29.
Just be easy, take them 28 days and roll with it. Sometimes we get that leap year, you know, we get that extra day. And, just as a quick little, this, week in Black History that I just wanted to bring up was, and this is going back to the hip hop and hip hop taking certain things and turning it into something else. And I even hate using the word hip hop because it's not. Corporations that put out urban music like to take historical items and turn it into something else. And a good example of that is Black Wall Street. You ask what Black Wall Street is to the...
Not the label that Game tried making, right?
If you bring up Black Wall Street, your average person is going to be like, you're talking about the Game's gangster rap label. But I just wanted to educate the people real quick on what the...
Black Wall Street is.
What's up?
I said that is not what Black Wall Street is or was.
That's what hip-hop taught me in 2005. That's what Black Wall Street was.
And there are many.
That was a thing as far as hip hop goes. That Game tried to do that. I mean, you know, I don't listen to this.
No, that was his, the actual name of his record label was Black Wall Street, and that's where everybody thought that name Black Wall Street came from, that it was the Game's 2005 gangster rap label. And so for people who still think that, I just want to educate the folks real quick about the true Black Wall Street, which was the wealthiest black community in the United States, and it got burned to the ground between May 31st and June 31st in 1921. Should have never gave these niggas money. But see, that's the thing with this situation, though, is that going back, just a quick little history lesson. You had, you know, slavery. Everybody knows slavery happened. 1864, slavery ended, so on and so forth. And then it was, everybody integrated everything. Everybody was working together. Earned, I'd hate to say working together, but blacks and whites were, quote unquote, allowed to live one another and do their thing. Then, white politicians decided that they didn't like that anymore. They didn't like black people being able to, work at the same places as them and so on and so forth. And so they decided to integrate. They started to do segregation. We're okay. You know what? You black people are free, but stay the fuck away from our shit. So we're going to give you that piece of land over there. Like we gave the Native Americans that piece of land over there and y'all stay over there. Now, the problem with segregation is segregation doesn't mean equality at all, because, okay, we're going to put you blacks over on this side, but we're not going to give you guys access to the same resources that we have. So it makes shit a lot more difficult to fucking live a regular life because you don't have access to resources. So what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma was in the Greenwood District, they developed this thing called the Black Wall Street, which turned out to be the wealthiest black community in the United States. And essentially they started doing their own trade and they were doing their own thing. And a lot of different, and shouts out to Hidden Colors who talked a lot about this. They started getting real huge and all that. And you had some situations where there were some countries who didn't like the way black people were being treated in America, and they stopped trading through what would quote unquote be the white Wall Street up in New York, and they started trading directly through Black Wall Street and working directly with the black people. Essentially, the black community was getting a little bit too powerful in that area, and during a 16-hour assault, more than 800 black people were committed to hospitals due to injuries. More than 6,000 black people got arrested. They just went through and fucked up everybody in this damn community. It's actually interesting, too, because this Black Wall Street Tulsa race riot was actually the first recorded bombing from a plane. They took planes and dropped dynamite out of the plane onto these black people.
This was 1920 or something like
that. Yeah, 1921, yes. And so the first recorded bombing from a plane onto humans to kill them were white people bombing a bunch of black people in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who they got wealthy. They got a little bit too wealthy. They put these people in their place, if you will, and financially, black people haven't caught back up since then. Since now we have the rap era, where now you have the Jay-Z's and the Beyoncé's who are making these billions upon billions of dollars, but they are puppets for other people. But I just wanted to educate the people real quick.
Why they keep them in blackface and entertainment.
Exactly.
Right. Why doesn't Oprah or Russell Simmons, Jay-Z, why don't they have their own distribution channels?
Because they know their place.
Why don't they have their own movie studios? Why don't, you know, like,
yes,
guys have tons and tons and tons of money and influence and power. Why don't we have these things?
And one thing that's interesting, I'm glad you brought that up, and this is a quote-unquote conspiracy theory, if you will. I don't know how many years ago this was, but the story was that Suge Knight, Jay Prince from Rap-A-Lot Records, and Irv Gotti were coming together to take all their millions of dollars to bring it all together and start their own black-owned record label to do basically what we're just talking about. And what is interesting is during the same time that happened, within 6 months, all three of them got arrested for various other means, and they all basically, their shit got shut down. Suge Knight ain't been the same. Fucking Irv Gotti's been trying to get
like off his building and like shaking.
They got raided. They tried to say that he was pushing drugs or some shit, right?
Yeah, they said he was associated with Supreme, whatever Kenneth Supreme, whatever his was. Yeah, the drug lord and all that. Jay Prince had the whole shit where they were trying to say that he was using fake money, or he was using extorting drug money, and that he was doing a whole bunch of shit. But basically, that has happened. Someone has attempted to do that within the past 10 years, and all the motherfuckers got put into damn near financial ruins for attempting to do something just like that. And the interesting thing, I brought it up before with a homeboy of mine. I'm not a fan of Tyler Perry. I don't fuck with Tyler Perry movies. I think they're fucking horrible. That's my opinion. But I do respect the man that he started his own movie distribution thing, and he has his own movie theaters.
Lionsgate, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an imprint through Lionsgate, but he owns his own studio, so he doesn't have to pay other people for shooting his movies. He does it all himself. But it's interesting that that building has been burned down like 3 or 4 fucking times. Every other year, that building keeps getting burned down, and no one can figure out what's going on. So it's just interesting when it's. We do talk this, that, you know, black people, we have a lot of different things that we need to get our shit together and grow. But the second we start growing, shit starts blowing up and getting set on fire. And I just got to say, I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't.
Yeah, kind of like when you mentioned those notorious three-letter word for that. So that company that kind of has control over everything, that shit starts fucking up kind of like that.
Yeah, exactly.
As soon as you want to put out Jupiter 3, shit start fucking up.
Man, yo, and actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because we got to call Poppo out live on this show.
Uh-oh.
You still ain't listened to Jupiter, have you?
Oh, Pop. Come on, dude. I think Dre's listened to each one 63 times a piece. A year and a half or so that there's, you know, we've had access to it, or a year or whatever.
Yes. Damn. You gotta check it out, Poppo. You gotta check out that Jupiter.
I've been playing Nintendo DS.
So you gotta upload it into the Nintendo DS, and as you playing the game, you have that as the background music. That's how you do that shit, yo.
I see. Okay, I gotta do that then.
So, No, you good. I just wanted to fuck with you because me and Trav was talking about that a while ago, if you had listened to it yet. I was like, yeah, I don't think he had a chance to check it out yet, but... For all the people who don't know what we're talking about, just check out Haterazzi.com. Check this brother out. He's a powerful, powerful, intelligent brother, and I fucks with him real heavy, and he got some real truth out there, so fucks with that dude.
You the one that put me on.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah, and I came across this shit like fucking 2 years ago, and I've been trying to get my girl to peep it. She won't check it out. I've been trying to get her to check it out or whatnot. She's not really a podcast listener, if you will, and I just, everybody who I get a chance to, I'm like, yo, check this shit out. I'm just saying, you're gonna love it or you're gonna hate it, but all I say is just do your research.
That's only his opinion.
Doesn't shit happen though when we listen to this or no?
Wait, what's up?
Didn't you say things happen when this thing is listened to or no? Or is that something else?
I don't know. It might be a list out there that once you listen to this shit, motherfuckers is watching your Google Hangouts more often. That might have something to do with it. I don't know. But yeah. So,
send me a link, I'll listen.
So yeah, I'll shoot you a link before we get out of here. But another interesting topic, shouts out to my Boondocks watchers. I haven't been able to check out the new season that then came out. What's up?
Season 4 is not on yet. I thought it came out in April.
Oh, April. I don't know why I was thinking it was coming out in January.
It was supposed to start in January. Then sometime in December, people start calling them out like, yo, why haven't we seen no advertisements yet? And they were like, hey, it's not official. It's not dropping until April.
Oh, so that's good to know. So I haven't missed anything. I was thinking maybe this season was sucking because I was like, ain't nobody talking about it. But okay, so that's what's going on.
Yeah.
So, actually, I wanted to shout out to all the Boondocks listeners. This is the return of Gangstalicious in real life. Poppo, have you ever checked out the Boondocks?
Yeah, I'm a fucking avid fan, yo. Like, had the first two seasons on fucking DVD, and I was gonna make a reference to it earlier. But I forget what line I was trying to say, but I didn't bother even throwing that
out. It's all good. But it looks like we may have a real life Gangstalicious on our hands, as there's a little bit.
But he's fully out though. I mean, this Gangstalicious. Remember Gangstalicious before he? Because like most, I'm pretty sure like most rappers, they're all undercover brothers. You know what I'm saying? They're all hiding.
Shit, the wolves is back.
Yeah, he got the wolves is back, yo.
Yeah, you had to the beaner chin. They fucking some dogs back there. I got black neighbors, don't worry about it.
Oh no, you good. You good. I know. It's probably some Rottweilers or some pit bulls. You know how brothers get down. So this is an interesting story, and I've been trying to get down to the bottom of this too. Apparently Young Thug, people are thinking, might be hip hop's first openly gay trap rapper. Now, anybody who is unaware of this, you could actually check out our website, ibhmpodcast.com, and in the link where it says talks about Young Thug, you can click on that link and it'll take you to this gossip on this page. And this guy Young Thug, he I don't know about his fashion.
All I know, this brother's gay. He's not only the ugliest gay guy, but he has no fashion sense whatsoever, honestly.
The main picture that's fucking me up is he has like some leather pants on with like some long like calf high leather boots, and he has what looks like an animal print skirt, like shirt that turns into a skirt on, like, I don't know. But like the confusion came from, he has, and for those who don't know who Young Thug is, he's the guy who has the song that's on the radio, Stoner. I'm a stoner. I'm a stoner. I'm a stoner. Yeah, it's on the radio. I've heard it on like 98.3 and shit.
It's so wack, yo. Like, so honestly, wack. Like,
I'm a stoner. I'm a stoner. I'm a stoner. But, this dude, if you go to his Instagram, which is Thugger1. It's a bunch of different pictures, and I mean, everybody has different opinions about men wearing pink, so to each his own, so I won't even call him out on that. But he just has a very odd feminine fashion sense with them, even taking a little further than, like, I know ASAP Rocky has been called out sometimes, and we brought it up about the first nigga, we the first niggas to claim we faggots, or whatever that line was and all that. And so I mean, I don't know, but
to me, fucking Andre had the biggest balls of all of them, and he ain't even gay. Like, he had the fucking strongest. Andre 3000 from Outkast.
Oh, 3000, yeah.
Remember? He was flamboyant.
That line by ASAP Rocky was, he was talking about other people. He was like,
trying to call him out. He's trying to say, right, he said it first. Like,
you know, we start wearing something, the first ones to claim we faggots is the ones that run out and go there and with. It was, but when you hear it the first time, you're like, what did he say? We the first ones? But no, he was saying, we wear some shit, the first ones to claim we faggots, now they going out and run out, and now they look.
Oh, okay, that makes sense, because I still didn't fuck with that Ferg album, so I never got to hear it, so.
Well, the Ferg album's dope as fuck. As far as ASAP goes, I mean, he's whatever. But ASAP, though, I saw an interview, he was like, yeah, I'm one of the first ones to wear acid wear jeans, like, what, the first fucking black man in mainstream music? Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure acid wear jeans.
In 20 years, maybe.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
But that's about it.
It's all about claiming shit. King James, claiming it.
Like, do I have to pull up, have to pull up a Kwame video with acid wash jeans and polka dot shirts?
Yeah.
Are you? Oh, you wasn't listening. You was young bucks.
I know. Yeah, we some young bucks over here. And it's actually funny bringing up the ASAP thing. Fucking Childish Gambino. Everybody knows I'm a Childish stan. Oh,
he threw a line out.
He threw a line at fucking. Yeah, he has a track on his new album because of the internet called Sweatpants, and he's talking about this chick that's
on there.
He says a half-tie chick, all she want to do is Bangkok, got her hair done, French braids, now she ASAP. Bino so insensitive, she asking why you say that, and talking about how ASAP always got them feminine ass French braids, and so she got her hair braided and she looked like this sensitive dude or whatnot. But yeah, everybody always be fucking with them niggas. So, but
I'm wondering, when Bino said this, and mind you, I'm a fan, I'm gonna see his show when he comes down here on the 4th of March, but when he says that all this bitch wanna do is Bangkok, isn't there a lot of trannies in Bangkok? Is he trying to say that he kinda fucked a tranny?
That's a good question. There's some, yeah, everybody who saw Hangover 2, yeah, that is the most popular form of pornography out there in that part of the
lady
world.
Boys.
They gets down with the lady boys, and hey, to each his own, do your thing. But this thugger cat, this is where the confusion is coming from, because I don't know if this is him who controls his Instagram, which once again is Thugger1, or if it's a chick possibly, but I don't know. But he has like one picture where he has his nails done, and it says it's like animal print.
Animal print.
Yeah, and it says Thugger Swag, which means I need no jackers. And then there's another one of him sitting next to some dude who's in a hospital bed, and they're handing one another cups, like they're holding the cup for the other one to drink out of. And it says, me and my love. And then it says, go for photo by, go follow him. There's another picture of what looks like the same dude in a prison picture. And it says, I miss you, babe, waiting on you, man. There's another picture of him.
You know his lover in jail waiting for him. You know, he's sagging daily.
Somewhere else, yeah. He the type of dude to, slam the soap while he's in the shower. He don't just let that motherfucker drop. He just slam that motherfucker.
are y'all familiar with the Lonely Island Band?
Yeah. Yes, not a whole lot, but yes.
I threw it down on the ground.
Oh, that was my shit. That was my shit. But, yeah, it's a whole bunch of weird pictures, and all of them is like saying love this and love that. And I mean, if he is gay, I mean, do your thing, but it's just, I don't know. It's once again, the conspiracy theorist in me going back to the whole thing about, and what was old girl's name that was on Hidden Colors? And she predicted it a long time ago that they were going to eventually keep getting these young rappers to keep sagging their pants and eventually get them out of their pants and in the skirts.
That's what Chris, yeah, that's exactly and what she said. And when it was said in the 70s, they looked at it like, what? Get out of here.
Said it in the 70s, and everybody was like, shut the fuck up. And
well, it was said in the 70s. I'm not sure if she might have, but I'm just saying it was said. And I knew because she was referring to a book that was written in the 70s that said it, and people got on the author like, what? We're proud, you know, black men. And, you know, we're not going to let that
kind of,
you know, but no, not even do that. Like, that's more of a personal thing. Like, we wouldn't let that kind of shenanigans, like, creep in and let it get, like, taken a whole thing. Well, here you are, 40 years later. And
we got skirts, and yeah. Right. And that goes back to the whole thing of that hip-hop is the global phenomenon when it comes to music. Everybody's copying music, if you will. And this may sound controversial because I support the gay rights movement. I think gay people should have the utmost right to get married. They should be able to marry and be as unhappy as straight people are when they're fucking married. Yeah, they're human beings. They should be allowed to get married. But I do think that there is a tad bit of a gay agenda going on through the mainstream. I don't know exactly the meaning behind it, but there is also a gay agenda going on within hip hop. I don't know exactly what that means fully, but there is some turning these men into as feminine as they possibly can. Look at fucking Drake. Drake is the softest, most feminine fucking rapper ever. Take Drake out of this era and throw him in 94. He would have got laughed the fuck out of hip hop. Like, get the fuck out of here with that feminine ass bullshit. And not even that you gotta be a tough ass gangster rapper to, you know, but just he's on some soft ass feminine emotion type shit. And like that should not be accepted in hip hop. And I have to call that it's going in a certain direction for some fucking reason. Why? I don't know. I don't know. But something is going on.
See, I think as not a fan or somebody even, I just hear what I hear if I'm for some reason listening to radio. There's a Drake song with Big Sean out now that I was like, God damn, that song's fucking awesome. So, you know, yeah. I like what I like, but
you know, have 2 Chainz, I think?
I don't know. But I'm not gonna go out and like buy it or even download it, you know. I don't care enough. You know, about the genre stuff, whatever. But I think he's good enough that it's fine that he's not. I mean, like Mr. Gates said on the end of his last joint, like, you know, who's to say, you know, why be mad that the white artists are taking over and getting awards and stuff when they're not spitting the same stories that have been told and the same nonsense that have been spat for the last 20, 30 years. Like, well, they're doing something different. Maybe the market's just like, oh wow, look at this. It sounds kind of the same, but it don't make me feel uncomfortable, or it's not, you know, all dark imagery or.
Exactly.
I mean, and it's adapting to an audience. I mean, there's an audience for it and people are going to pay for it. And I mean, we know kind of like politicians. I mean, you know, Obama didn't want to lose the gay demographic. So, you know, he has to cater to this kind of shit, you know, people don't want to lose the beaner demographic. So they want to be, oh, you know, we appreciate beaners. You know, they want to get a cater so they can have them on their side. And that's all it is. Yeah. Where else can we make money at?
And that is the thing too. And going back to, like, I had called the whole thing that Malcolm Moore was going to win all the Grammys, but also at the same time, I wasn't offended about it because the Grammys caters towards it. The Grammys, it's a white committee.
We were having in like 1992, whenever, or 90, when Fresh Prince did got a record or got an award, or and it was like, you know, we didn't even have TV time and shit back then.
It's the same thing with Eminem.
Yeah, I mean, not surprised that the Grammys did some, you know, who's voting on the Grammy? And somebody else said, was it Mr. Span? No, it wasn't Span. No, it was them, one of the dudes on Hot 97. He was like, they asked me, do you want to vote and have a say? He was like, no, I got time for this shit. You know, and he's a guy that's as qualified as anyone you would think. At least he's immersed in the genre and in the culture, you know, so they could take it to somebody who don't really maybe know what's good. Because I don't listen to any of them, but it's just like, okay, Macklemore, and then I look at Kendrick, Drake, Jay-Z, Eminem, and Kanye, like he beat all those guys?
All of them.
I don't know one, I know the Pop My Tag song or whatever tag song by Macklemore. That's it. And those guys who I know a ton of their stuff, like,
closed mouths don't get fed, and if you don't vote.
From the outside looking in, it's like, I don't care if he was brown, a black dude, Macklemore.
Yeah, it still would have been like, wait, like, him?
This guy.
And it comes back again to, it's who voted. And that's why I always say, like, when something doesn't go a certain way within the black community, I always call out black people. Like, and not to say that, oh, you know, it's always our fault. There's a lot of fucking white supremacy going on in America to keep white people in a certain level and everybody else down. But we should all know that by now. But also, when there comes times like that, when you do have the voice to be able to change something, fucking use your voice. And that's the same thing like you were saying with Ebro. Ebro had admitted, he was like, yo, they hit me up about coming on that show about voting for that show. I didn't have time for it. And so then in the end, don't get mad at Malcolm Moore, because the people who came out to vote, they supported him. And the people that, you know, support Kendrick, they didn't come out. That's why I always say the same shit too with buying records. You know, I've talked to many people who are like, oh, you know, hip hop is whack now and this and this and that, and then, oh, but this new song came, or this new album came out, and I downloaded it, and I'm mad because this shit don't ever play on the radio. It's because what's playing on the radio is what's selling. The people, Justin Bieber, his fans are buying that shit. That's the reason why that motherfucker is huge. Of course, there's the machine behind him, but people are going out and buying that shit. I'm like, a big fan. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, Justin Bieber's gonna come out with the rap album, I'm pretty fucking sure. When that shit happens, it's gonna fucking sell, because his fans are avid fucking purchasers, buyers. They go to the shows, they support him. It's all about support. If you don't support something, then how the fuck is gonna have attention?
And what happens when he wins best rap album?
I'm going to be the one that motherfucker say, yo, I voted for him.
And I'm calling it right now. Justin Bieber will have the Grammy for number one hip-hop record.
As a new artist.
New artist, 2017. Justin Bieber is going to have the number one hip-hop album. You heard it here first on the IBHM podcast.
He's getting his cred up. He pissing in mop buckets. Fuck Bill Clinton. Fucking Greg Reason. Getting arrested.
Fucking Brian Shirtless or Rick Ross.
He just building up lyrics for days.
That nigga is in the lab right now. Like, I'm about to hit him with this new hot shit. It's gonna be hotter than that YOLO shit. Y'all ain't even heard. Y'all ain't even ready. Y'all ain't even ready.
Speaking of sexy whiteness, what's next on the and Grammys as well? What's up on
speaking
the
on the Grammys too? I know me and Trav was kind of talking about this earlier. Because you brought this up to me a couple weeks ago, and we're still trying to get down to the bottom of the meat of what happened with this. There was an internet rumor going around that Lorde's Grammy speech was censored, and so maybe Trav could, elaborate on, so did it turn out to be a false story or what happened?
It just was one of those things that, because it's like, okay, when something's 2 weeks old and it's still only coming from one source, like, all right, that's just such a red flag. And then when that source, when you just look into it, it's like, all right, this is, but it wasn't, it was supposed to be satire or whatever, but it was just one of those things where, because of what it said, she said about, she basically was like anti, you know, basically how the things are going now, how the monetary systems are going, how we're just period. The world's fucked up in a lot of ways. If you just, you know, look around and like, you know, what powers is allowed to get away with is staggering. You know, not to mention the fact, and this is just allowing me to get into this kind of mode, but not to mention the fact that the top, but the before I get into this, the Lorde thing, it was bullshit. It was but people are so primed and they're like, oh, I could see her saying that, and that they would suppress her from going into anti-globalist, you know, kind of talk. But this gets me thinking about the study that came out about 3 weeks ago that the 85 wealthiest people in the world own as much wealth as 3.5 billion people on Earth.
Woo.
The bottom half of the globe. It's half of the globe. The poorest half of the globe. 85, less than 100 people. 85 people own the same amount of wealth. And let me put it in perspective. So, the six heirs for Walmart industry, family, the Waltons, six of them own as much wealth as the bottom 40% of America. That one fail alone, right? But only four of them are in that 85 list.
Damn.
Two of them get looked at like, you broke motherfucker, go get your stock game up or something. Damn. You know, two of them aren't in that list. You would think for sure, okay, well, of course they're probably in the top four. Fuck no, four of the six made it. That's ridiculous. That is absurd. You know,
did y'all ever see that movie End Time with Justin Timberlake?
Yeah, where they had it was like
with
money
the time was thing. Oh no, yes. For one, I'm getting that tattoo one day, but that's not the point. The point is one of my favorite lines that was stated on that movie that resonates with me to this day is when the one guy, they were talking about how like the rich people, they were holding all the time for the people. Let me just start from the beginning. For the people who hadn't seen the movie, basically it was, there was some time in the future where there was no longer such thing as money. Money was time. And so basically you work to get more time because everybody stopped getting older at the age of 25. And then you just had this time clock that was on your arm. And so like you work to get more time, and then when you go broke, you basically die. And so it was that was the way, and you purchase items through like the time, your lifetime, and so on and so forth. And then so you had these rich billionaires who they could be like fucking 25 for like thousands of years because of how much money that they had. And so then there became this whole big scandal where they found out that these rich people, they were holding a certain amount of time in different areas. So then they were trying to attempt to keep these other people poor and all that, to keep them dying and all that. And then the guy, one of the main bad guys, he did the phrase that he used, which is so true, for few to be wealthy, many must be poor. And that's what it comes down to.
Capitalism. I mean, there wouldn't be any capitalism if you didn't have a whole bunch of people that were just like, I gotta get to that. And you exploit those people that know, well, they're gonna do whatever they can.
Exactly. You know, and fucking
to be middle class, you know, to not be poor. You know, we have this separate group of poor people where we go, you don't want to be like them, so you better keep fucking working, you better keep showing up at 9 o'clock to your job, you know, because at any moment, you know, you want to get cancer, you most likely, you know.
Yeah.
You want to get some kind of something. So you want to be able to have something to stave off, you know, being that, you know.
Exactly. And fucking, I think it was Shane Smith who was on Joe Rogan's show, and he had mentioned that shit about how capitalism is built in a way where even if everybody worked hard as fuck, there will still be at least 10 to 20% of the people who will be below the poverty line. That's just how fucking capitalism works. There will always be people who will never have enough to fucking eat. And it's built that way to keep some people up and other people down. It's crazy.
The way the world runs. And it's, weren't they, I mean, it's been in talks forever about how they're going to eliminate the dollar. Remember how they were going to go to the euro, and then apparently they're going to get rid of
the Amero, whatever.
And then even then, though, there's talks now that the credit cards we have, that's going to be obsolete. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're going to get some kind of fucking Mark of the Beast barcode bracelet.
I'm still waiting for my Obama required microchip. They said by 2013, April 2013, yep. Where my chip at?
No, see, what we don't know is that they didn't already put the fucking chip in us. Whenever the last time you went to the doctor, they didn't already slip the shit under your finger and you didn't even know. They just ain't announced that shit yet.
This is my tickle a little bit. I was like, I'm cool.
Well, okay, I mean, I can go with it. Yeah, you know what's best, doctor.
You know what I like.
With the white lab coat.
And then I think there's even talks that they're going to eliminate Dr. Norman wear white lab coats. Apparently that shit carries diseases with them or some shit. Did y'all hear about that?
No.
I wish I had the link. There's some kind of bullshit. And then I just sent y'all a link to it. Because, I mean, there's advancements all the fucking time. And apparently they found how to do muscle fiber out of floss.
Hmm.
Yeah,
it says
something crazy about floss and some other shit. You can literally have muscle fibers that can make you 100 times stronger. I mean, we can make the perfect bean. It's just that some people don't deserve to die.
Implanted in you?
Wherever the fuck they wanted to. They wanted to make a fucking Fantastic Four stretcher cock. I'm pretty sure they fucking could if they wanted to. It's just about having the money for it and knowing the kind of fucking damage one can do. You know, fucking pink socket and everything.
And this goes back to the whole, there's that story that that science will achieve immortality for billionaires by the year 2050 in Germany because of the whole power of the singularity and how we're getting real close to where your biology and technology will merge between one another, and that they'll be able to stop the dying off of the cells. And if you're a billionaire, you'll basically be able to live forever. We, by definition, are in the first starts of all this shit with all the stem cell shit and this shit right here about the muscle fibers and all that. Yeah, within our lifetime, it's we're getting real close to that movie in time where if you have all the fucking money, you're going to be able to live at least to be 200 fucking years old. Well, that is not that far away.
Pretty fucking sure.
So, but speaking of some people...
I thought you were going in transhumanism direction, but you kind of just... You know, didn't go there because I do not think that that's the answer to humanity's problem.
I don't,
the idea of putting consciousness, which we can't even agree what is consciousness.
Yeah, what's right.
Into some kind of fucking thing, and it's going to be bullshit. We know so little about the brain, like the brain. All about organs and, I mean, the liver and all of what this does and that does and plasm and blood and veins, all that kind of stuff. But the brain is like the last frontier because it's a fucking spectacle of ridiculousness of how does this thing work? Like what makes it go? What makes it tick? How does it, you know, and studying brain injuries, you know, like can help but man, the idea that, you know, because some people say consciousness is a byproduct of we're alive, so we're conscious. And they would never flip that. Like, well, what if we're fucking alive and sentient because of fucking consciousness?
Consciousness, exactly.
You know, like,
go ahead.
The C.S. Lewis quote, you don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body.
A body. Like, that shit's exactly. Temporary.
Like, something else going to happen. You know, that's why, you know, with the whole, you know, why I take offense to, you know, the whole atheist shit, because they just like, you're dead, you're fucking dead, and, you know, they're like, fuck, what are you kidding? You know, what, this is a fantastic vessel. I mean, it's frail and it's fragile and it's soft and pink, but it does and it's inhabited and it's an amazing thing. You think the energy that inhabits that just goes away? That's just, if you're so science-based and you love your science dogma, atheist, and I'm brushing a broad stroke. But, you know energy doesn't just go away.
Yeah, it doesn't dissipate. It transfers.
Form. And it's like, all right, where's all that energy that's within us go? On that level, just on a scientific level then. You can't tell me that.
And that's the reason why, not to get too spiritual, but that's the reason why me personally, I believe in reincarnation and multiple lives for the simple fact that the energy is, it's going somewhere. Now, if it goes back to the stars, and if that's what all the star dust that we see out there, if that's our spirits, if you will, floating out there in space or whatever, I just genuinely believe that the thought of dying and coming back as something else on this planet is not that far of a stretch. That's not that far of a stretch to think that your energy can't get stuck in this fucking plane and you can keep repeating this shit over and over. And that's why I think that it's interesting when you see some of these people, I don't know if this is just a black statement, but when you say that somebody has an old soul, that young man, he just has this old soul, it could possibly be off of the strength of that motherfucker has been here for a while, and once you're born,
he just innately has experience, you know?
And so that's the reason why that motherfucker is picking up on shit so much quicker, because he's been through similar shit before, so it's a lot easier for him to adapt and grow as a person. That's not that far out of the stretch, and that's why, once again, going back to my Gnostic Christianity that I've been studying so far, that's one of their main things, is that they believe you're stuck into this plane until you figure this shit out. And it's very similar, I think the Buddhists think something like that too, like you're stuck in this plane so you can figure out how to get the fuck out of this plane. Your energy is stuck in here until you fucking transcend and grow above this. So
hence the reason why I can't wait to get on this goddamn Jesus spaceship that takes me to the mother thing and it gets me out of Zion.
Waiting on Heaven's Gate. Wait, he coming.
I want to get the fuck out of here.
Just leave them beverages alone.
So, speaking of somebody else who should leave some shit alone, this fucking Craigslist murderer suspect, this has been an interesting story that I have mixed feelings about.
For the listeners out there, this was gonna be my dedication last episode, but I couldn't find a fucking flattering picture.
Yo, Papo ain't shit. Yo, my dude Papo ain't shit, and that's why I love him to death. He don't.
Say I ain't shit.
Fuck. Yo, no,
I
go
ain't
ahead.
Shit, damn.
No, it was a compliment though. That is so a compliment. But the Craigslist killer. You want to take that one, Papo? I know you're well versed in the Craigslist killer.
Oh well, the way that originally was that originally told it was that apparently it was the woman's, and I forget her name, Miranda something Lambert. Originally it was listed that it was her boyfriend that she had stabbed 22 fucking times or something like that, and then apparently then later it came out that it was a Craigslist fuck. Or something like that. Yeah. Apparently she's been on this journey. Pulling the Dexter round, fucking killing baddies, apparently. And so it's somewhere from the ranges of 22 to no more than 22, less than 100 people that she's killed. Yeah. And apparently she did it with just causes. She first tried to claim that she was part of a Satanist church. Then they denied her, like they didn't want nothing to do with her. Which it's kind of a sad thing almost a little bit. And then it turns out that it was just the fact that I guess she was just abducted, apparently, by some sort of Satanist that was just abusing her for so many years. And then in the link that you had sent out, so I guess her name was Forrest, apparently has a tag. She has a tattooed on her thigh or some bullshit like that. It was her pimp or her owner, her whatever the fuck. But, this bitch is kind of crazy, yo. And like I said, and I was hoping for a sexier story, kind of like a la, who was the bitch who killed her kid?
Oh,
Casey Anthony, even the other bitch from down here, Jodi Arias. Like, I was hoping it would be this, you know, cute chick that, you know, because there's sexy pictures of the other ones, But that's not, was there not to find nothing. I don't know. I got to do harder research. I'm not that good of a journalist.
And actually, quick question. Is something wrong with me that I would watch a Casey Anthony porno? Is something wrong with me that I think I'd watch it at least once. At least once I'd check it out.
I got a bunch of Amy Fisher pornos.
Woo! Shot a bitch in the face. I forgot about her. Yes, I forgot about Amy Fisher.
Wait, we're not talking about the actress.
She shot a bitch right in the head. Huh?
That's crazy.
But you said Amy Fisher, I was thinking of the actress from London, no?
No, this is the chick. What was that, like the early 90s, I want to say?
It's like 90, 91, 99. Joey Buttafuoco.
Oh, that bitch.
Yeah, Joey, yeah. But this chick, I don't know, I'm like, from the story.
Any Lorena Bobbitt fans?
No, I'm staying the fuck away from her. I don't want to see a porn with her. I'm cool. Just her name, yeah, no. But this fucking Craigslist chick, from the story, from what I heard of her, this started when she was like 13 or something, and she claims that she didn't kill so many people. She stopped counting at 22 or whatever. But the thing that interests me is that she claims that she was posing as a underage girl, and she was underage at some time of this, but she was posing as an underage girl, and she was killing men who were responding back to the thing, back to the post. And so this brings up that whole Robin Hood thing. Are you mad at Robin Hood for stealing when he's taken from the rich and given to the poor? And am I mad at this woman when she's just killing fucking pedophiles? I don't know how angry I am with her. She's killing pedophiles. She's killing pieces of shit. I don't know. I don't know if I'm that upset at her.
And that's the part that kind of makes her like, okay, should we not be upset with her? Because she's actually doing something that's, you know what I'm saying?
She's doing the Lord's work.
That's what I was like. I like Dexter.
I wasn't mad at Oren Ishii in Kill Bill when she was murdering pedophiles to get to the dude that she,
exactly. You know, had to
get to that killed her. I was like, oh yeah, good for her.
Yeah, good. Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah, her revenge. You know.
It's fucking wild.
I mean, technically you can't do that, but
And who's to say? I mean, if you wanted to go biblical, like, you know, back in the Judges, you know what I'm saying, book, you know, you were allowed to fucking do shit like that, but then again, who can say, you know, I don't know. And that's the difference between justice and, you know, what's legal or what's right and what's actually legal.
And that's actually kind of the thing going to what you're saying with being legal. That's the thing. Shouts out to Joe Rogan. I'm a big fan of his podcast, and Joe Rogan is a philosopher in his own right. I don't think he really understands that he is. But one of the things that I remember hearing on his show, which makes sense, is like, what the fuck is a law? It's just some words on a fucking piece of paper. And next week, the law could say something completely fucking different. So it's just kind of one of those things that I don't get super caught up in, well, this is the law and that's the law. I'm not saying that everybody should just be going out and breaking the fucking rules, but it's just a bunch of rich motherfuckers writing on a piece of paper what everybody who's poorer than them can fucking do and get away with. That goes back to the fucking, going back to the crack epidemic back in the 80s, which shots out to the real freeway Rick Ross, and when the crack popped off over there in the ghettos, and people were getting way more time for selling or doing crack cocaine than they were getting for straight raw cocaine. And cocaine, that was up in the luxury suites, and I was up there with the fucking...
Those laws are still in effect today.
Still in place. And the crack was a stepped-on version, if you will, of cocaine, but it was what the people in the ghettos, the brown and black people in the ghettos, could afford, and they're giving them like five times as many fucking years as somebody buying the more expensive, stronger shit up in these fucking penthouse suites. And so it's just the laws are so fucking stupid. It's just something written on the piece of paper. This is what this person thought at a certain time, and other people aren't going back and fucking changing them. It's fucking stupid.
This goes to our current weed epidemic too.
Yeah, it's the whole thing with weed. If alcohol is legal, I don't understand why marijuana is illegal. And this is coming from someone who I smoked weed for many years of my life. I stopped about 7-8 years ago. But to this day, I still say that if I had to pick between the two, marijuana being legal or alcohol being legal, marijuana should be what's legal.
Yeah, I don't even like that comparison, man.
Yeah, I hate that, but just that's the broad comparison.
The easy one that people can understand, like, okay, because alcohol is just so, it's just so pervasive and accepted and just like...
Well, because we went through the whole prohibition slump, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like we had to go through that fucking hurdle. I sent y'all a link. I think so far they projected 16 million.
Yeah, it's so exceeding expectations. The tax
people like their weed.
Exceeding expectations, and they expected it was going to bring in a lot of money.
Oh yeah, I see. Oh wait, my shit just went away. Yeah, it says a little more than 6 weeks after Colorado legalized retail sales of recreational marijuana, the first projected revenue numbers are in and are staggering even to the optimist. By the end of the next fiscal year, which spans 18 months, gross sales for recreational marijuana are expected to be somewhere near $610 million. Colorado will collect tax revenue of $184 million. The shit is good for the fucking economy. It's the whole thing, like I said, just as the lazy comparison to alcohol is, okay, let's make it legal, but just treat it the same way as you do with fucking alcohol. Got to be 21 to buy it. Don't be driving around high. Don't be walking around down in public. Just treat it like alcohol.
My favorite things to do.
With the revenue they've made so far, I think they said they could fund Colorado school lunches for the next 90 years. Just on the 6 weeks of revenue that they've made. 6 weeks or 90. I'm not sure how accurate that was, but it's not. I'm sure it's not far off.
Not too far fetched, yeah.
It's fucking crazy. And actually, that brings up another marijuana thing that was coming up a little later, but we can go ahead and touch on that now. I think a lot of people aren't aware of these marijuana banking guidelines that have been going on. For people who don't know, and I'm not super well versed on exactly everything that's going down, but apparently how they were having it go with these legal marijuana sales is that these companies, even though the marijuana was legal and they're doing legal activities and selling it, they weren't allowing these people to deposit that money into banks. So if you're making $100 million in your fucking store selling marijuana, you couldn't deposit that money in a bank. You had to put that shit in a safe somewhere and just do cash transactions and shit like that, which is fucking absurd. They're doing legal shit. So yeah, do you got more information on it?
I thought it was that they don't have a system of you can't go in there with your debit card, and they don't have that kind of system. So they can take their money that they, you know, and deposit it. Here's our daily or weekly, whatever. If I'm physically, you gotta show up with all this cash. They would have to do that anyway, even if they had a, you know, cause half their sales or however a percentage of their sales still gonna be cash, and they would have to deposit that into some kind of account. But it's just that they have to have cash. Everyone has to use cash. So they got, you know, when they made $1 million that first day, they literally had a fucking $1 million
of cash,
you know, on hand. And it's like, if people just were able to use their, you know, like everyday life and just come in, swipe their card, like they're buying a sandwich, it would be, you know, we wouldn't have to handle so much money.
Cash. Yeah.
We wouldn't be a potential target. I mean, they had to put up extra, you know, police and stuff in certain areas because they understand that. And it's absurd. It's absurd that the second largest bank in Europe, HSBC, they got caught, smuggling money, whatever. Laundering money. Laundering money for, not just one, Iran, which is ridiculous crime, and it's you know, the Mexican drug cartels,
mm-hmm,
and Al Qaeda. How do you get? How are those not the three? Why was that not? Oh my God! They made them pay, which was a record fine of $1.9 billion in fine, but that's literally 6 weeks worth of of
revenue. Yeah.
And, you know, so they, it's still a slap on the wrist. That's the cost of doing business. They made $24 billion, in 2012. Or 2011, I forget when the scandal happened. But the year that it happened, they made $24 billion. If you gotta pay two to make, to keep doing business, what,
really, yeah,
are you going to stop? Are you going to stop laundering money for Al-Qaeda and Iran and Mexican drug cartels?
That shit is wild. And that's the whole thing going back to...
Which, by the way, they just got caught, one of the guys. I'm not too sure if anybody made any ruckus on your guys' Facebook timelines. One of the head cartel guys at El Chapo, apparently.
I've heard of El Chapo. I've heard of him.
He apparently is one of the biggest, baddest motherfuckers who runs shit down there. He apparently has been caught before, did business while the motherfucker was locked up, and because he was so fucking praised and, you know, pretty much paid, you know, he was the one who signed people's motherfucking checks, you know, they miraculously escaped, and I guess apparently they got him. But I mean, if he did it before, he's gonna run business in that motherfucker, and if he dies, someone else can take his place. I mean, drugs are gonna keep on coming.
And that's the thing, and that goes back to the whole fucking Portugal thing. First off, like, my whole opinion with a lot of shit is you shouldn't be able to necessarily criminalize someone for what they want to do with their body. That's your body. Long as you're not hurting someone else, I don't give a fuck what you're doing.
Or even put somebody else in danger.
Yeah, don't put somebody else in danger.
Say that's my personal whatever, whatever. But okay, well, you can't then get on a forklift or jump on the island.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the whole thing with, like, okay, if you have some heroin users and they're getting high off of heroin and they got kids in their house and they're not paying attention to the kids, that's
not
something
even
else.
That. Look, it's with even with hard drugs, it's the danger is never the drugs themselves.
Yeah.
On average, I mean, sure, there's ODs and stuff like that, and people get, but for the most part, it's the lifestyle that you then have to lead, because what you do is illegal.
Exactly.
You know, if you get caught, then you get caught up in this terrible system. They take your kids, whatever. But you want to. The thing is, if you were able to just be a heroin addict, you would still get up, go to fucking work, make sure your kids. It's not the optimal. I wouldn't want to live.
I like that, but yeah, and that heroin goes to. That fucking show, I forgot, what is it, Drugs Incorporated or something, whatever that show is, that they do a whole, like, hour-long story on, like, different drugs, and they do the different... Yeah, maybe, yeah, just drugs, but they were talking about the whole thing with heroin, and then I want to say it was Switzerland, it was one of those SW countries out there in Europe, but there was a... What's up?
Sweden or Switzerland.
One of those two. And there was a big heroin epidemic out there. And so what they did was they took a legal amount where, okay, you're a heroin addict. Instead of locking you up in a cage and treating you like a fucking animal, okay.
We're going to give you heroin.
But we'll only give you so much heroin a day. But we're giving you clean, straight heroin that's uninfected. It's not fucking some shared needle or whatnot. It's going to be all clean and professional. And crime dropped like a motherfucker out there. And you had a bunch of people who it was like some park that was real bad. Like, stay the fuck away from that park. That's where all these heroin addicts are. And it cleaned up the crime over there and all that. Because like you were saying, it's not necessarily the drug, it's the lifestyle that you're leading. And if you're doing all this criminal shit to get these fucking drugs, but then if they're treating it a different way, and instead of treating this as you're a fucking criminal, I need to lock you up, let me treat this as there's something psychologically going on with you that you feel that you need heroin every day to survive. So let me treat it as a psychological issue, and then we can help you grow.
Yeah.
Exactly, and that's what the issue is. It's not the fucking drugs, it's how we treat the drugs. It's not I drink a lot. I'm gonna probably get crunk tonight. That's what the fuck I do. And instead of treating it as there's something wrong with you because you're a criminal and there's something going on where you feel that you need to quote unquote ease the pain or take off the daily stress of life. There's something psychologically going on. And so treat it instead of as a criminal activity, treat it as a psychological thing and fucking treat people like fucking adults and not like goddamn goddamn criminals. It just fucking drives me nuts. Just legalize marijuana.
Pineapple Express reference, kind of like, are y'all familiar with the movie? I think we've talked about it now.
I saw it once. It was a bad experience, but go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, there's a scene where he's like calling the talk radio and he's talking about how uncomfortable it is to have to go to a drug dealer. And it is, because it's kind of an awkward sort of thing. Cause I know I'm stuck in this weird thing when I would purchase from people. It's kind of one of those like, are they my friends? Do I got to stay here and conversate with your ass? Is it just straight business transaction? Do I got to come and bullshit? Do I got to smoke you out? Do we got to catch up on things?
Do we got to be buddies?
You know, so there's that awkwardness. If it was just a fucking store, you don't have to chit chat with the goddamn register lady. I mean, yeah, she might ask you how your day is. She might tell you to do well.
Actually, I think it's the exact opposite because, no, they're right. Dealer, yeah, okay, good luck. I'll see you however long your rotation is.
See when this tape is
there. If it's at a store, you're more likely to be like, you know, hey, what's up, Gwendolyn? How's your day going?
look at the name tag.
In a normal store. Like, you would have... You just like, hey, how's it going? Oh, shooting the breeze. Oh, yeah. How about those Phillies? And blah, blah, blah. Whatever. It's, I think going to the dealer is way more, you know, obviously impersonal because they ain't got time for that shit. They got to look out. They got to make sure, you know, this new setup. What the fuck are you doing trying to divert my attention?
Nigga, you set me up?
Y'all trying to ambush
me? You got too much rap at a transaction. You know.
Well, you know what? My problem is, I guess, that with my apparent dealers is that they kind of were acquaintances. So it's kind of one of those, I wanted to be just dry and like, give my shit, motherfucker. I'm going to be at this motherfucker real fast. But it's one of those, oh, I don't know. I feel like I gotta shoot the shit more than I would at the fucking store because usually at stores, you got to keep the line going. You know what I mean? When you're going some adventure, I don't know. Either which way, it's still... There's more chances of getting shot and shanked during a drug transaction than would going to your fucking CVS. You know, I would think. I don't know.
And actually, that is a real good question. That brings up the next topic about getting fucking fucked up and shit at regular stores. There was a shooting at Walmart in Chandler, Arizona. I skipped up a little bit in the notes.
Yeah, which is recently, too.
And not only was this just recently... This is the Walmart that is about four blocks away from my house that I just stopped by this morning to pick up some of these 5-hour energies for the fucking show. For those who don't know what happened, a man got shot inside of a Chandler Walmart and has died, according to authorities. Apparently, I think I got the wrong article up, but apparently... A 25-year-old dude and a 36-year-old dude were in line and they got into an argument and it turned into a fist fight and the 36-year-old man put some of that old man strength on this youngin and whooped his ass and the dude felt threatened and pulled out his gun and shot and killed this man inside of motherfucking Walmart. Mm-hmm. And, so I don't know if you're safer in a CVS or a Walmart. Looks like you're fucked no matter where you go.
Well, Walmart's prone for craziness. Come on now.
There are a ton of witnesses and cameras all over, so it should be pretty cut and dry. The guy should have had the right, you know.
Like, well, at least you're protected. You have witnesses. I mean, if I forgot to got to meet a nigga at a park, you know what I mean? My body can easily be dumped and not found.
Oh shit! That shit is wild though. But yeah, it was crazy. That story like kind of fucked me up, of course, and especially it fucked my girl up more because she came from a very small community, and like it's still one of those things. Like to her being out here in a bigger city, if you will, when she hears something like that, it's just like, what the fuck? But it's just kind of crazy to me. Like, this is a Walmart I go to all the fucking time. And I could have been shopping that day. But I mean, it is what it is. Shit is wild out here in these streets, yo. That's all I'm gonna say.
I got that East Coast darkness going over here. West, I turned my light on. Still can't get all types of shit.
Darkness, everybody. Darkness is spread.
I know it is. Meanwhile, it's fucking 4 p.m. out here in fucking Arizona. We still got the sun shining. You got Popo outside with the motherfucking Arizona coyotes in the background and shit. And fucking, it's almost midnight out there in Philly. Oh shit! But speaking of somebody else who is going through some wild shit, our one of our favorite topics to bring up on On Black Heath Mexican Podcast is good old George Zimmerman.
My nigga
is back in the news, and now the story is that he says that an angry Florida mob has chased him out of Miami, and apparently George Zimmerman is fearful of his life, and he's possibly maybe fleeing the country.
See, nobody knows the troubles he's seen. Nobody knows his sorrows.
The trouble I've seen.
Come on, get in it, Chavez. I know you know the words.
Motherfucking duet out here. But, I'm
about to. Shut up, people. He's going to have to sing.
But no, I give no fucks about Zimmerman. I really would like him to leave the country, not because fuck him, I hope something bad happened to him, but I want him to disappear and so he could stop being a celebrity out here. I want him to just go somewhere and just leave.
He'd go somewhere and be like, y'all don't know me? Come on now.
Y'all don't know me?
Exactly. Oh, shit. Do I gotta kill a nigga out here too? God damn. How many do I have to kill to be famous?
I'm crossing my fingers that he moves to Arizona. People who usually go crazy, they usually end up moving here.
You know he's gonna move out here because Arizona is the perfect fucking state for him out here. People would love Zimmerman out here in Arizona. Fucking.
I'm gonna somehow become friends with him in Arpaio. We're gonna have tea together.
What's up, Dry House?
I just said, by the time I get to Arizona.
Oh, so it's just fucking wild. But it's funny because I I'm not trying to say that, oh, I know everything and I said this before. But I had mentioned that on one of our first episodes with this whole Zimmerman thing. I was like, they're going to somehow turn him into the victim. And eventually it's going to turn into all these angry minorities keep messing with him. And he can't have a regular life. Those darn minorities, if they would just leave him alone. And...
Most minorities other than myself, I mean, are against him, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like someone has to defend the poor white man.
Fucking Cenk Uygur on the Young Turks called, you know, months ago, if not a year ago, like he's going to do everything he can to stay in
relevant, and stay
in the public eye. He was like, I just see it in his personality.
He's a fucking psychopath. He likes this attention. He loves it.
Motherfucker gotta do what he gotta do to be doing what he do. I don't know.
So, it's still fuck Zimmerman over here.
He's the most popular murderer, I think, around right now.
Yeah, I would say that. Especially since they called OJ. Since they locked OJ up his own shit. How you go to jail for stealing your own shit? That's still fucked up.
Well, they had him on recording. I mean, that's that was handled improperly.
Now, I did want to bring this up. This was supposed to be on the last episode, but, we kind of went into a fucking hour long Zimmerman conversation last time. So we, had some articles cut. But I definitely want to bring this up, and I want to see what the interwebs, what the people out there think, because this whole Edward Snowden thing, when it first came out, you had a lot of people who were championing him, and then you had a lot of people who were calling him a terrorist, and it was fucked up what he was doing and all that. And I thought that this was dope that two Norwegian politicians are trying, or they nominated Edward Snowden for a Nobel Peace Prize. And I wanted to see what y'all think about that.
Just like when Bradley Manning, now Chelsea Manning, was nominated, I thought that was a good idea.
Exactly.
Nominating Snowden is a good idea. He's done more to...
Question then. Patriot or traitor?
I say patriot.
Yeah, if I had to put a label, either one of those labels on him, way closer to being a patriot than any kind of... Because what did he do that was traitorous? Did he sell secrets to another nation, or did he tell his own nation, his own people, what his own government was doing?
Well, see, that's what makes him.
We're the enemy then.
Yeah,
we got to be protected against ourselves. Yeah,
you know, he told us the secrets. You know, it's not like he went to China or went to Russia and told them. He told us, and then fucking roll out because he knew he was going to get murked out, probably.
Well, now that you're right, and that's part of the problem, because apparently when he took off of these documents, he has I don't know how many amounts of documents. I don't know how much documents a fucking flash drive can hold, but he had so many available. And instead of, you know, flashing over, I'm going to show this to people, which I am glad that he did, because I mean, it just confirmed what fucking conspiracy theorists have thought already. But now we have the fucking factual proof that these motherfuckers can hear and they know what the hell we're doing. So now we know this, which is cool, and it leaves us at an unease to where now there can be any motherfucker can just burst and go crazy because of the shit that's going on. It causes even more conspiracy, which, mind you, I'm glad that he showed this, you know, he opened up our eyes. But apparently he has more information. So isn't he hiding out in Russia?
The story is that he has only leaked 1% of the information that he has.
Because if he put it all out in June, the story would be dead by now. It would be fucking dead.
Because, unfortunately, we as human beings, our attention span is so low that we would have saw all that shit, we would have talked about it for a month, and then forgot about it. But the point is, people wake up. I'm going to keep releasing so much every so often so you motherfuckers don't forget about this. This is something very important that we need to be aware of. And there was a meme, too. That's what I was just looking for on my phone, and I thought this was an interesting meme. It showed Bradley, now Chelsea Manning, and it says, who goes to prison when the government catches you lying? You do. Who goes to prison when you catch the government lying? Nope. You still go to jail. And that's the whole fucking thing. Like, it kills me when people were saying that he was a traitor. And it's like, why is he a traitor? He put his life on the line to let us know the nefarious shit that our government was doing against us. And that is basically what it comes down to, that the American government views the American public as the enemy. We're literally living in a nation that they think that we're the enemy. So I need to hide information from you because you're the enemy. I don't want this information in your hands. And that's fucking ridiculous. Edward Snowden is a goddamn hero. I don't give a fuck who wins the Nobel Peace Prize this year. He fucking deserves it because he stood up and did something that nobody else had the goddamn balls to do.
And there's some other topic too that I'm hearing about, back, I guess, when one of the wars is popping off, and it's just a matter of legally, he took an oath that he wasn't supposed to leak out that information. That was privileged information he wasn't supposed to leak. So it was an ethical thing that he fucking took on, and that's where
anything that was top secret or
wasn't it?
No, classified and top secret are different things. Now, they still want to punish him for leaking classified information. But it's not, you know, it's not like he leaked the Manhattan Project in 1943 or some shit.
Yeah.
That was top secret. That's where like 12 people knew what was going on, you know, and everybody else was compartmentalized. Did he break his oath? But doesn't he have an oath to, to uphold, you know, certain, you know, standards and moralities of the government that he works for? So.
Yeah.
I mean, they would say no, our oath trumps moral fucking common sense oath.
And that's the thing going to like those fucking Republicans who, and everybody knows my opinion about Republicans, and I mean, I have an opinion about all types of politics to begin. I think it's all a dog and pony show and they're all just, it's a big fucking joke. Republicans and Democrats are two different sides of the same fucking coin, but whatever. But that all the Republican and the Fox News people who were coming out and talking about how this guy was a traitor and all that, and then how much they're so big on the founding fathers of the nation and all that. And I think if you were to be able to take the fucking founding fathers and put them in this situation and introduce them to this Edward Snowden idea, they would have championed him too. That, like, yeah, this is what the nation was supposed to be built upon, standing up for what is fucking right and going against the fucking bullshit. That was the whole fucking the war with us separating ourselves from fucking England and all that. It was because of the persecution and all this and the bullshit, how they were quote unquote controlling us and all that bullshit, and it was them standing up and fighting for what they needed to, and you put your life on the line for what you believe in. That's what the fuck this dude did. He's a goddamn hero.
I concur.
Now, somebody who's not a goddamn hero, Michael Dunn. Is everybody familiar with the Michael Dunn trial that has been going on?
I forget.
Michael Dunn is a man who basically, as the story goes, he was outside of a convenience store. A kid by the name of Jordan Davis went into the store. His two friends stayed in the car. They had some music playing loudly. Michael Dunn got in his car, got into an argument with the kids. Jordan Davis got back into the car. The argument ensued, and Michael Dunn took out his gun and fired into the car.
He went to his glove box to get it.
Yeah, he went to his glove box, pulled out a gun.
It was legally done.
Got to.
Sure, but the idea, but he says he thought he was getting threatened. So the idea that you would be able to go, and not get fucking shot. Like, well, if they got a gun on you, they
obviously you weren't in that much danger.
Why are you trying to get your
gun? It wasn't immediate danger.
You know, so he goes to his glove box, comes back, starts licking into this car full of teenagers, yes, and seriously wounds one, murders another, and
that's what happens when you play that goddamn Thunder Bunny music.
Yeah, see, and this is the thing, though, and this is, I always say to tell people to pay attention to what exactly is being stated, if you will. He's going to spend 60 years in jail for attempted murder, but they let him off for murder. So,
He wasn't found guilty. It was a mistrial, right?
It was a mistrial on the murder. And so, essentially, he's in trouble for firing into a car and attempted to murder. That's the only thing he got in trouble for. He didn't get in trouble. The murder slide. But
see, that's what I don't understand. I don't look at a mistrial as murder, as you getting off. You didn't get a not guilty. It was a mistrial. So they got to do this shit again or do something.
See, now, are they doing it again, though? Or what? Are they moving on?
You don't just get off. Are you going to just be like, okay, well, he got the 60 years. He'll die. Fuck no. You make that shit official.
Yeah.
Get another trial get another jury, and I want not guilty or I want a guilty.
Guilty.
I want that shit in his goddamn obituary. Murderer dead.
And this story, the Daily Beast had a story by Jamel Bowie. He said Michael Dunn trial, white fear matters more than black lives. And just to read a little bit of this real quick, he said, let's say you wanted to kill a black teenager. The reason doesn't matter. Maybe they look too suspicious while walking home, or maybe they just wouldn't obey you when you gave them a command. The goal, however, is to make the kill without getting convicted. Well, if there's anything to take away from the trial of Michael Dunn, it's that in the state of Florida, this is possible. You just need to be more thorough than Dunn could manage in his initial rage when he killed Davis for being a thug who wouldn't bend to his will. First, let's look at the trial. Yes, assuming a tough judge, the 47-year-old Dunn will go to prison for the rest of his life, but he won't be going to prison for Davis's death. On the charge of first-degree murder and the killing of an unarmed teenager, the jury couldn't come to a decision. Indeed, if Dunn is facing a jail cell at all, it's because the jury found him guilty of attempted murder in the case of Davis's friends. After killing Davis, Dunn fired more shots into the vehicle. The jury has held him for shooting at three teenagers, but not for killing the fourth. And I think the overall thing to come from this is fuck Florida. Fuck Florida. I don't wish harm on anybody. I wish that there was some type of national emergency and everybody just had to leave Florida or something for a second. I wish a fucking hurricane comes and knocks that fucking part of the U.S. off the goddamn. I fucking hate Florida.
We can't knock off the country's shaft.
They need to fucking, what is it, castrate America, because that dick is being a fucking dick. Oh my god. All this shit, and shouts out to the black guy who tips. A lot of people know I shot a black guy who tips out a lot. And Rod is one of the big people. Rod has been talking about the state of Florida for fucking years now, and just how fucked up that state is. And every time some fucked up story comes up on the black guy who tips, it's always either in Florida, Texas, or Arizona. All these fucked up stories that don't make no goddamn sense. It's always one of those three fucking states. And yeah, I live in one of them. But I don't know. It's just, it's fucked up. It's hard to be black in America. It's fucking insane to be black and in Florida. You're probably going to die. You just need to come to that conclusion. If you live in Florida and you're black, you're going to get fucked up and no one's going to give a fuck. It's going to somehow be your fault. You shouldn't have been black in that goddamn area. That's what it comes down to. It's fucked up. It's just crazy. I can't call it. And another thing with the Michael Dunn thing, just the last thing, and for the life of me, I couldn't keep up with the trial. Like, I get angry and I start hating white people, and I can't hate white people because my kids is half white and that family's all white. And then I don't want to be looking at my kids getting angry at them. Like, I'm mad at half of you right now. So I got to stay away from all the craziness. But, this fucking Michael Dunn thing, apparently he wrote letters. I'm gonna try to see, where is this one? One of the letters that he wrote, he said, "I'm really not prejudiced against race, but I have no use for certain cultures. This gangster rap, ghetto talking thug culture that certain segments of society flocks to is intolerable. They expose violence and disrespect towards women. The black community here in Jacksonville is in an uproar against me. The three other thugs that were in the car are telling stories to cover up their true colors." And apparently he wrote letters and was talking about just fucking how being around the black people in the prisons just made him dislike black people even more, and just like, this dude has a disdain towards African Americans. And it goes back to, shouts out to Haterazzi on his last episode. As much as it pained me, I had to agree with him. He was like talking about how he blames hip hop for all this, the mainstream hip hop, and the ignorance is going on in the mainstream hip hop. And you have this situation where you have these white people who are not raised around these black people. They only see the ghetto ass black bitches on all these reality TV shows. They only see these aggressive, violent men in these rap videos and all that. And so it's just like seeing a fucking hyena, and you run into a hyena walking down the street. You've only seen that motherfucker on the Discovery Channel. If I got a gun, I'm gonna kill this motherfucker before it harms me. And unfortunately, that's how a lot of these people are looking at it. They only see these black people in entertainment doing these nefarious fucking aggressive things. And so they're automatically scared. What's up?
Or just being buffoons.
Yeah. Shooking and jiving and just being fucking buffoons and a whole new menstrual show and these fucking young thugs and all this just ignorant ass shit. And so, and Haterazzi, I really agree with his point, because the last episode,
track he played was absurd.
Yes, it was absurd.
Whoever it was, about whoever that jackass rapper was. Oh my God. He was like, yeah, this is what most rap is. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the image, and that's when people think if you Google hip hop, and said World Star Hip Hop is the first thing that comes up. No, so if you go there and then you click on a random video thing, that's what you're gonna get. That dickhead with the song called My Niggas, and he was, you know, just being an ignorant moron.
Yeah, and that's what it is. So you
got seen that meme really fast I guess it was a picture of Denzel when he was in Training Day, and there was a Yahoo question saying, "What's up with everybody talking about Monica?
Why do black people call each other Monica?" And one of the answers was, you know,
because in the scene in Training, he's like, "Monica."
Well, that ain't saying Monica. With Denzel, and at the bottom it said Monica.
I didn't even see that shit.
Monica.
Monica. That shit is funny.
I had to like spell it out. I'm like,
oh, I know, because you said it. I was like, Monica. I was like, what the fuck is y'all talking about? But that shit is like, my nigga. Now, before we get out of here, me being Arizona Verse, the conspiracy theorist that I am, I'm going to get on some conspiracy shit real quick. One of my favorite websites that I fuck with is Vigilant Citizen. And they have a lot of different random shits that come on that, you know, different blogs. They talk about a bunch of transhumanism and a bunch of different videos and symbolism and so on and so forth. And one of their more popular things that they do is every month they put out this symbolic pics of the month, where they take all these images from different magazines, fashion shows, so on and so forth, and they put a compilation together. And every month, this is the symbolic pics of the month. And so I just wanted to, and I put a slideshow up for those who go to IBHMpodcast.com, click on the link for this page, and take a look at a couple of these pictures, and it's just interesting some of the images that they're portraying. There's a Marc Jacobs ad for his Spring 2014 campaign. It shows Miley Cyrus sitting down, and she's being all stylish, and next to her is a dead girl laying on the ground. What that has to do with fashion, I'm not quite sure. And there's a lot more pictures of her with that. Then there's these weird pictures with there's some type of, like, you know, Disney has that certain font, and they have these sweat coats where it's like the Disney print, and it says brains, and it has the number zero under it. And it says that here's a pic from a fashion show during London's Men Fashion Week, and the guy's wearing a shirt saying brain zero combined with a Mickey Mouse hat, which, according to Vigilant Citizen, is a symbol of mind control and a device that is forcing his mouth open.
Yeah, the guy what the said, hell is that on his lips? I was going
to I have that. No idea. And it says, I do not think it is possible to make that guy look more idiotic and even worse, more of a symbol for mind control in the fashion world. Then the one below it, it's another one where the guy has a shirt on with a RIP on it and like fucking devil horns coming out of his hat. And the same thing, he has this thing on his mouth that is forcing his mouth open. And it says another model with horns on his head, the letters RIP.
The sleeve.
Yeah, the sleeves with the barbed wire. Yep. And it says on his shirt, there are barbed wires on his sleeves. In short, he is in...
What is this dude wearing?
Yeah, I have no fucking idea. No, and it says
the black dude with the
the Nets one. Yes, and there's a black dude with a fucking long straight hair. He has some type of shirt with half of his sleeve wearing out, like, I don't know. But it says, dude, why are you trying to look like Kelly Rowland's twin brother? But seriously, the fashion world is desperately trying to make women look masculine and men look feminine. This Nets picture, I wanted to bring this up a while ago, but it slipped my mind. There was a Beyonce posted this picture on Instagram, and she is posing sexily in front of a painting of The Last Supper, and she is just so happened standing right in the perfect position to block out Jesus Christ in the picture. Mm-hmm. And the people say
that was on her goddamn album, the little video album that she has.
Was it? I didn't see a single second of that shit. And it says this prompting some people to dub her Bay Jesus, and while they may be Bay Jesus, they're Bezos.
Bezos.
And it says, while this may be dismissed as an innocent picture, it is perfectly in line with Jay-Z and Kanye West's reoccurring themes of being and becoming Jesus, which is in line with the cult beliefs of seeking godhood. There's other pictures of Kanye from his tour, and he got these crazy jeweled pictures on his face with fire all over him. It's another one with like a plastic bag over his face and looks like he's suffocating. The guy says, this is a common torture used on MK slaves. While this shot may represent Kanye's trials and tribulations, the imagery is still in line with the promotion of dehumanization and torture in mainstream media. Show some more pictures of Kanye with the fucking some weird mask on.
It's like a machine. It's like if it peeled away his skin and he was just like some kind of machine.
Just some type. Exactly. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, it looks like they're peeling the skin back and he's essentially a machine. He's being controlled. There's another picture of Kourtney Kardashian, who is Kanye's sister-in-law, and she had a photo shoot.
Where are these pictures at?
Oh, did you click on it's the Vigilant Citizen link in Evernote?
But I'm trying to
scroll all the way down past the Kanye shit. I think it's not even quite halfway down. Yeah, the chick with the Mickey ears, that's where we're at. Okay. And this is a photo shoot for some magazine, and they says this seemingly innocent article about her Louis Vuitton filled closet is actually more filled with MK imagery. For no obvious reason, Kourtney is wearing a Mickey Mouse hat, which once again he says is a symbol of mind control. There's more pictures of her with the hat on, and also pictures of her with a cat, and the cat is a known beta kitten programming symbolism. There's more pictures of her with animal prints, and once again, that's considered beta slaves and the whole sets kittens thing. You scrolled. What's up?
I'm seeing the younger sisters, the light-skinned sisters.
The light-skinned one. And, yeah, it shows the pictures of the half-sisters, and they, the buff pics are all related to their 2013 Christmas card. The word naughty is used to hide one of their eyes, and it says, yes, being an Illuminati pawn forces you into becoming naughty, but the word is probably not strong enough. Shows a picture of Kendall Jenner, who has a tattoo of, fucking, what is that? Yeah, the Baphomet. That's the Baphomet.
She's wearing a Baphomet shirt.
Yeah, with a tattoo of it on her hand. There's this GQ magazine. This guy is doing the same thing with the fucking one eye thing, triangle on his hands, hiding one of his eyes. More pictures like that. Same thing.
With the
fucking triangles.
Those are real tattoos.
Yeah, hell if I know. Yeah, this is Jared
fucking Zach. The guy who was fucking
Zac
Efron.
Yeah,
that was.
Did look like him. And then there's another picture that says, here's Jared trying hard.
Jesus.
What's up?
I see he looks pretty sexy as Jesus, though.
That's a sexy Jesus, yo. That's a sexy white Jesus. It shows him looking like Jesus. It says, can someone maybe send a memo to Jared, Beyonce, and Kanye to let them know they are not Jesus? They seem confused about this fact. This, I thought, was interesting.
That doesn't offend me, because that is...
That's not Jesus.
Not what Jesus fucking looks like. I mean, if he starts trying to be Cesare Borgia, oh, well, alright, yeah, you know.
Yeah, once again, for all the people who don't know, just Google Cesare, how do you pronounce it, Cesare Borgia? Borgia?
Cesare Borgia. C-E-S...
F-A-R-A?
It's just Borgia, B-O-R-G-I-A.
Yeah, look that up in Leonardo da Vinci, and you'll see where that picture of Jesus came from. But we'll leave that for another show. There was another picture, and I saw this during New Year's. Sydney had their New Year's show, and it had a big fucking all-seeing eye watching the city. And they have a new coin out, and once again, it has that big fucking all-seeing eye over the bridge, watching over the lake and shit. I thought this was interesting. So
was it the Winter Olympics where who was the guy who went against Obama?
Romney.
Romney. Yeah. When he gave his little speech, wasn't there some shit like that to where he had a little was it the Winter Olympics? Yeah, but anyways, there's a lot of symbolism too, and they had the all-seeing eye at every fucking Olympics thing.
Oh, it's everywhere.
Worldwide,
and actually,
baby.
This isn't in this article, but I came across this morning. I want everybody to, whenever you get a chance to, go on YouTube and check out the video to Katy Perry's Dark Horse. She put out a video, and by God, are they not hiding the symbolism? It's just all the fuck out there. They give no fucks. This is the closest thing to that Kesha Die Young video.
I was just about to say, they stopped caring when that fucking Kesha video came out.
They
die, 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 die
They had the fucking upside down fucking crosses and pentagrams, and I'm sitting here watching it like, what the fuck? And that thing was interesting too, because they, shortly after that was when the Sandy Hook shit went down, and they made certain radio stations stop playing that song, and she came out on Twitter and was like, I was forced to make that song. And what is interesting is, ain't no new music came out from her since then. She's still been in the spotlight, but for music, she ain't been out there like that since then. But
yeah, hey. Well, not since fucking that horrible fucking Pitbull song. Was it Rodeo or it was a single that just came out? No, it's been out for a little while. So Timber.
I don't think I heard it.
It's Timber. Pretty much it to me. It's a metaphor for getting a bitch drunk. She falls over and you fuck her, but it's Timber.
You beat the pussy up.
Yeah, once they fall down, because don't yell Timber when the tree falls over or some
Timber!
Shit.
Is there one of Beyonce songs about? It's clearly about getting date raped.
Well, good like this. The Drunk in Love. I haven't listened to it, but I have been hearing some people who are like, yeah. It's about her being so drunk in love at the club and like waking up the next morning and not remembering what happened. Like. I don't know.
Why get up in the kitchen table, fucking jizz all over her or some shit like that?
Apparently. And then back with these pictures, this other one I thought was interesting. It's a picture from a children's book. It says this page is from a children's book called Olivia Goes to Venice. And she's going through the TSA thing, and they're scanning her with the little thing. And it says, as they went through the airport, Olivia was searched for weapons. She was very pleased. Like, they're promoting that, yeah, kids, you should be happy that you're getting searched. We're trying to save you. And that brings up to the last picture, which there's a new movie coming out called Devil's Due. And on the official website of the movie, there's a screenshot, and it tells people that if they convert their Facebook religion to Satanism, they will receive an offering. And this thing says, Devil's Due, convert your religion. Have you joined the internal vigil? Convert your Facebook religion to Satanism and check your religious views below to become one of the converted. Unlock a special offering from at Devil's Due Movie on January 17th, 14th. Fear is born.
So how can you play any right wing, you know, they're promoting Satanism, you know, that kind of, like, well,
how much money is there going to be involved?
You know, shit. Like, where's the, yeah, I mean, I would have thought, where's the fucking Westboro Baptist Church to protest this shit?
This, yeah. They get so goddamn mad at them fucking gays and them army people when they come back, but when it's some actual Satanism going around, they give no fucks. I don't get it.
I try to get fucked up by a bunch of Satanists.
It's like let's sit this one out, guys, yeah?
If I go to a funeral, ain't nobody going to punch me in the face. Everybody going to be trying to be cordial. Yeah, oh, you shouldn't be here. You know, I go to a damn Satanist rally, they might, you know, I might get kicked in the fucking stomach or something for waving a damn picket sign in their face.
This shit is wild, and that brings us to the final little story real quick after that little Devil's Due thing. I saw this the other day, and I thought this was interesting. There was a radio commentator named Paul Harvey, and he had an essay called If I Were the Devil, and this came out in 1965. It's a little not too lengthy, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to just read real quick with the transcript. Crip says, and see if this rings true with anything going on today. He says, if I were the devil, I would gain control of the most powerful nation in the world. I would delude their minds into thinking that they had came from man's effort instead of God's blessing. I would promote an attitude of loving things and using people instead of the other way around. I would dupe entire states into relying on gambling for their state revenue. I would convince people that character is not an issue when it comes to leadership. I would make it legal to take the life of unborn babies. I would make it socially acceptable to take one's own life and invent machines to make it convenient. I would cheapen human life as much as possible so that life of animals are more valued than human beings. I would take God out of the schools, and even the mention of his name was grounds for a lawsuit. I would come up with drugs that sedate the mind and target the young, and I would get sports heroes to advertise them. I would get control of the media so that every night I could pollute the mind of every family member for my agenda. I would attack the family, the backbone of any nation. I would make divorce acceptable and easy, even fashionable. If the family crumbles, so does the nation. I would compel people to express their most deprived fantasies on canvas and movie screens. I would call it art. I would convince the world that people are born homosexuals and that their lifestyles will be accepted and marveled. I would convince the people that right and wrong are determined by a few who call themselves authorities and refer to their agenda as politically correct. I would persuade people that the church is irrelevant and out of date and that the Bible is for the naive. I would dull the mind of Christians and make them believe that their prayer is not important, that the faithfulness and obedience are optional. I guess I would leave things pretty much the way they are. Now, even though I don't agree with every single statement that he's making, because I do believe that people are born homosexual, I do think that a woman should have the right to abortion, I do believe that...
Your mind is polluted, brother. Your mind is polluted.
I'm so polluted. They done got to me already. But I just thought this was crazy that this came out in the fucking 60s, and that is... however you want to take it, that's kind of where we're at in 2014, y'all. So I don't know.
It was talked about when with the feminist movement that it was completely funded, that Gloria uh, Glorious Steinem was completely bought and paid for by the Rockefeller family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I saw this like an Aaron Russo video or some kind of Rockefeller's exposed or without any shit. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he talked about, like, if we're already been taxing people at this point for 40, 50 years, because income tax wasn't a thing, you know, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a thing 75 years, whenever it came around. So what if we can get, how do we almost for surely double our intake? Well, if we get fucking women to work, take jobs and to go out, then we can collect that much more fucking revenue.
Exactly.
So why don't we make it this movement where, oh, I'm a burn my bra, I want to work. And then they saw, like, and then what's going to happen? Well, the family's going to collapse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody's going to be raising those kids. So we can raise those kids by what we put on TV and, you know, media and entertainment, that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you want to go there, it's like they saw today. Like, yeah, oh, yeah. And then everything will be unstable and people won't know right from left and everybody will be so fucked up psychologically, we'll even more be able to control. So.
Exactly. And that goes to the fucking dude from the front man of Korn. He, was just on TMZ and they called it a conspiracy theory.
Jonathan Davis?
Yeah. I think that's his name. He got caught by TMZ at an airport and he was talking about how every time Miley Cyrus does some crazy shit or some silly celebrity shit happens, it always seems to happen at the same time the government is trying to pass some laws.
Major's happening, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, and he was saying how it was the government's doing that shit on purpose. Here, let me confuse you. Let me take your mind. Let me, it's the whole ball in front of the cat's face. Pay attention to this, you know, dumb shit as I'm doing changes some rules over here. And we as Americans, we fall for it. We're so caught up in fucking celebrity news and gossip and TV and all that. And that's our kids are raised in front of the fucking TVs nowadays and all that. So here, let me dangle some entertainment in front of you while I'm passing some real laws over here because you're not fucking paying attention anyway. That goes to
Jersey Shore. I don't know if you're, I forget what the fuck was happening. Remember something big had happened like worldwide. And we're busy fucking during the fucking Jersey Shore fucking. Yeah.
And actually,
well, there was a meme that went around with Obama. It was like, it was when they drone striked the wedding in Yemen. And I think it was just all casual, all civilian. They usually will get, they can claim, yeah, sure, 19 people died, civilians, but we got the one guy we were looking for. This time, like, 40 people died at the fucking wedding party. It was a huge scandal. And it was Obama on top. It was like, yeah, that Yemeni's wedding drone thing happened. Could you front page that Duck Dynasty shit for me? And all of a sudden, Duck Dynasty's the fucking, you know, everybody can't get enough talking about whatever side you're on. I'll fuck them or freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom of speech. Not knowing what freedom of speech actually means.
Means, yeah. And that's the whole thing with, during the whole Paula Deen scandal. Wasn't like fucking South America on fire while that Paula Deen shit was going on?
Yeah,
and and they were like, pay attention to this Paula Deen thing. Can we say the N-word? Why are black people so upset about the N-word? Meanwhile, whole fucking continent is on fire and there's protests going on. Like, this shit is on purpose. They're playing with, and I'll leave it on this. I've made this statement before because the whole thing is whenever you bring this up to somebody, they're like, the government isn't clever enough to do that. The government is so fucking stupid. They can't get together to make anything happen. No, and that goes to the whole, the saying that the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to prove that he doesn't exist. That's the same fucking thing with the government. The greatest trick the government has ever pulled is to make people think they're so goddamn stupid that they can't come together to make something happen.
That'll praise like SEAL Team 6 for getting Bin Laden. They'll then turn around and talk about how we can't do anything. Like, wait, we just sent like these specially skilled people, like a surgical knife, you know, did what we had to do. Now we're, now all of a sudden on this hand, we're inept and incompetent.
Yeah.
And it's the same government that fucking and same governments, period, all of them, that built nuclear weapons. You know, we got enough nuclear weapons to blow up the Earth like 1,000 times
over.
You know, like, wait, those, that doesn't sound like incompetence. That sounds like, you know, that sounds like some innovation and some progressive, whether you're going in progressive direction you're going in, is different. You know, but that doesn't sound like incompetence to me.
Yeah, exactly. So I just tell people, just wake up. And what's the saying? In the age of information, ignorance is a choice.
Yeah.
It is. So, yeah. I think it's about that time. Everybody's, favorite time of the show. Go ahead and say it with me. It's time for
Dedications.
And, I'm gonna pass it over to my main man, Trav Lord. We're gonna let you take the first motherfucking dedication. And, who do you dedicate this show to?
Yeah, I have two. Do I give them? Just give them both out, or are we gonna go?
Yeah.
Give
them both out. Give them both out.
My first dedication is a woman my mom is obsessed with.
Okay.
She posts links to my Facebook page, like, oh, who it is, because I think she's around my age and shit. But Lupita Nyong'o, she's in that new movie with Liam Neeson. She's one of the flight attendants.
Oh, okay.
People are getting killed on. But she was on Ellen the other day. She's like really blowing up. She was in 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, okay, I got her in front of me.
Yeah, and she's just an amazing. It's the opposite. When I asked about how we gonna do dedications, like, do y'all go over them? Because I don't want you to steal my. I got new Papo. It's the opposite of Awanita. So I was like, I'm stealing my butt. But I was like, damn, he might be up on her rise and, you know, the uniqueness of her. Lupita Nyong'o is an amazing, beautiful African woman.
And a beautiful dark-skinned woman, so I know Papa.
Oh, I would have known nothing about that.
Physical sense, yeah.
Oh, man, that's what's up. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to upload.
And my second one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And my second one is quite the opposite. So I want to dedicate this show to Lolo Jones. Her fine ass is on the bobsled, U.S.
Yo.
Bobsled team. After she's a hurdler, a track star, and, you know, did the Olympics in 2012. And now here she is in 2014 doing the Winter Olympics on the bobsled tip. And I was like, Lolo Jones is a bobsledder? Oh. I was like, I was mad because she got to wear a helmet and shit, but still.
Yeah.
I couldn't. And she is just an exceptionally gorgeous woman.
I have been in love with her for so long.
So that's just amazing.
And you beat me to her. If I had been watching the Winter Olympics, I probably would have picked you. Got me, but yeah, Lolo Jones. I've been in love. And wasn't there a whole story about her still being a virgin?
Yeah, that was one of the stories going in 2012.
Those exist.
They still
exist.
Apparently, and
I paid top dollar for those. Top
dollar. I'm gonna turn Muslim, so when I blow up a motherfucker, I'm gonna turn to a radicalist Muslim. So when I blow up a building, I could get 25 of those when I go to the seventh heaven or whatever they believe in. So yeah.
You sure it's not a 72-year-old virgin?
Either way, still fresh.
Still fresh. That cherry still ain't been popped.
Dehydrated, lack of moisture.
Shit, it might be a little. That cherry might be a little rotten, but it's still in there. It's still in there.
There's this this is funny line, and I don't know how relevant it'd be to this, but on the news, I don't know if you wear Arizona Verse, but Schoolboy Q, his album comes out this Tuesday. It leaked.
Oh, yeah.
On Friday.
Oh, I didn't know.
I was very happy. I actually even wrote a review for it, but I mean, I'll figure out another place to put it. But he says his line though, and I'm surprised that he said it because I didn't think brothers ate the pussy that much, but he says, my beard is red from all the pussy that I eat. I'm like,
oh god damn.
Oh, my beard is sweet or something like that.
Stereotypes, man.
Yo, I know.
This is not the 80s. This isn't Def Comedy Jam, or 1991 where comics come on and talk, oh, you know, brothers, they ain't eat no pussy. Like, I've been fucking since I was 13. I've been eating pussy since I was 12.
For real. Oh shit, I wish I had a plate of it right here. I'm telling you. Yeah, I don't know where that stereotype came from.
They called
it
a sponge, baby. They called this a sponge.
I'm sure. Probably smell like one too. Just like most stereotypes, it's based in some truth. I mean, black dudes probably wasn't, you know, black chicks apparently don't like it in the ass, and that's cool because, you know, food comes out of there. That's not an entryway, anyway.
That's an exit point. Yeah, you don't. Right. Yeah, you don't fuck with that. Yeah. Oh shit. So Popo, do you have a dedication?
You know what, at first I didn't, but I always have. I guess there's always places that I resort to be able to pull these things out of kind of like a trick out of a hat. This girl, I guess I first heard of her really in Sucker Punch. It was I forget the fucking director, the dude who did 300, or Zack Snyder, I think his name is, whatever. It was whack. It was just more sexualized comic book movie. Anyways, yeah, this girl, she's in this new movie, the Pompeii. I don't know if you guys seen the trailers for that.
I've heard about it.
There's a very cute little witty tale that hails from Australia. Her name is Emily Browning. We're talking about, you know, butthole eating, Browning. Emily Browning. And she's just, you know what I'm saying?
She's just as
pale as the day is long. And she, I guess she could say she's my dedication. I really don't know too much about her. She's close to my age. So if there's like kind of like a Travis mama, if there ever could be, you know, and you know, I travel out there. I mean, Emily Browning, I guess. I really don't have much to say. I really didn't have a fucking dedication, but all, you know, all praise goes to the white woman.
White woman, that pale skin. Mm-hmm.
And actually, that's another thing too, to kind of, which I figured you would have known that I was a Boondocks fan, because, what was his name? Uncle Ruckus.
Yeah.
He'd always, when he give praise, he's like, praise to the white woman. That's the way he'd say it. Oh yeah. Emily Browning, that's my lady. I guess.
Yes, sir.
She's white, so she's right.
Yeah. And, let me see. So we got three. I'll stick to two.
No, how about you do
I'm
one?
I'm gonna do
so
two.
We can have even four. Give it. Let Travis. He's a guest. Let me have two. Don't do.
Well, no, because one of these I'm gonna use because I forgot to include this story. So I'll use this as a dedication just to show her some motherfucking love. My first quick dedication, because we didn't cover the story, is shouts out to Ellen Page, who recently came out.
Oh, you don't take Ellen Page now.
And I've been in love with her. I've known that she was gay since I first laid eyes on her, and I'm not mad at her. And so I'm going to purchase the Beyond Two Souls game just because her lovely face is all throughout this game. And I also want to dedicate the show to her for standing up and letting the people know who she is and what she's about. So hats off goes to her.
And it is a bit of a typecast, though. I mean, with her whole little rant that she went on, I call it a rant because I don't like when bitches talk for too long. But I mean, the fact that she was typecast into, you know, being, and it's funny too, and it explains down more of my fascination with her, not only because she's a white beauty, but also because, I mean, there's something in her. She's spunky, you know, and are straight chicks just not as fucking lively? I don't fucking know, but I mean, she always has something about her that just was always fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Fucking adorable as hell. Kind of has, she looks forever young, so it ignites the inner pedophile in me.
The pedo bear in you.
Yeah, but she's adorable, man. And, I mean, it sucks that she kind of was having to, I mean, you figure though, she has a right to do whatever the fuck she wants, and I'm pretty sure she's fucking been scissoring since I don't know how goddamn long, and why it took for her to have to make a goddamn speech out of it. I mean, I guess she had to bear her soul. Good for her, I guess. And I'm a Sony fan.
Between
the Xbox and the rare like that, but they said that the Beyond Two Souls is more like a movie because I guess apparently there's not too much action in it. You're really just kind of sitting back and watching. So
yo, I downloaded.
So if you're gonna sit back and jerk off to it, then yeah, go for it. But you're not gonna be playing too much.
I fucking downloaded the demo to it, and I just played like 10-15 minutes of it, and just the little piece of it I done played. This shit is dope, and yeah, it's like, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it, but like the chick has psychic powers and she does all kinds of shit, and the way they motion captured it is just, it's fucking phenomenal. So first dedication, Ellen Page. My second dedication is, I'm not 100%. Well, say, yeah, no,
the
I'm surprised.
The black man beat me to it again.
Yo, you beat me.
More reason to hate y'all.
You beat me to Jennifer Lawrence, so I got to beat you to a motherfucking Ellen Page. And my second dedication, now that I think about it, she might possibly be gay as well, to Angel Hayes. Now, for the people who don't know who Angel Hayes is, she's a dark-skinned, lovely, half-African, Native American female rapper out of Detroit who has been doing the damn thing, and she's starting to get some limelight. And she's the most interesting thing about her. She's only, how old is she? She's 22. What's up?
I've heard of her, okay.
Yeah, she got some videos on YouTube. She could definitely spit. But the thing that's interesting, she was raised under the greater apostolic faith, which she basically called a cult. She grew up in a cult until she was like 16, 17 years old. And the first time she ever heard rap music, she was damn near already graduated from high school. And here we are 4 years later. She's on the verge of blowing up. And, she's a phenomenal artist. We're actually, I'm going to close the show out with, for the people who follow us on, Podomatic, you'll get the full, produced version of this, including the music and all that. And, she has a song with how you pronounce her name? Ellie Goulding,
yeah.
Goulding. They got a song.
Skrillex is old. Snatch. She's fucking awesome though. Ellie Goulding's a shit though.
Yeah,
I got really jealous of him when she's actually coming out. She's coming out this next month to Phoenix.
Oh, okay. And she, I don't know if she has a new album coming out or if it's, I don't know what exactly is going on,
she
but she
hasn't done shit in 2 years, but we're still teasing off her last record.
The last one, yeah. And she has a record with Angel Hayes called Life Round Here. And I'm going to close. That will be the outro song for today. And, it's a phenomenal song. And, yeah, so shouts out to, our dedications for, this, episode. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mm. So, anything else, anybody? Before we get out of here? Anything?
There's a few things, but I mean, this is long enough. I think. Like, I thought it was ridiculous, and I figured because, mind you, I'm not the sports guy whatsoever. The closest thing to sports, I think, to me was like the original Space Jam movie, which is why I sent you guys the link.
Yeah, no, I didn't even get to click on it yet. Yeah, so what, are they doing another one? Or
apparently they are, and they want to have Sir King James as the Michael Jordan of it, I guess.
Which is just going to make so many people get so goddamn mad. So many people hate LeBron. LeBron is my nigga, my nigga.
What is there to hate? Michael Jordan was a fucking scumbag.
And that's
like, okay, you get a fucking jumper at the bucket, but he was a fucking terrible human being.
You're 100% on. I've said this so many times. The reason why people hate LeBron, because we live in a social media world nowadays where information is so readily available and all that. All the fucking stories from people who grew up in Chicago all say Jordan was a piece of shit. He couldn't keep his dick in his pants. He was always fucking around. The nigga was always high and drunk and stunting and doing all kinds of wild, crazy. Jordan was a motherfucking thug.
He's just a regular ass black man.
Jordan was a nigga, but he didn't show that shit on fucking TV. He knew how to put the sports persona on and all that.
Media wasn't like how it was back in the day.
Yeah, exactly.
He got lucky.
We're in LeBron's life every fucking moment of every minute of every day, and so people just get upset, and it drives me nuts when people are like, oh, LeBron ain't shit because he had to go to Miami to get help. Fucking Jordan had help. He had Scottie Pippen, and he had Dennis Rodman. He had the greatest fucking sports coach of all goddamn time. Jordan didn't do it by his goddamn self. And if you want to talk about somebody doing it by their damn self, the first time LeBron made it to the NBA Finals in Cleveland when they got swept by the San Antonio Spurs, I want someone out there to name one other fucking player who was on Cleveland that year.
Was that the year where he, in the Eastern Conference Finals against Detroit, against the Pistons, he scored the last 25 points of the game?
Something like that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And for everybody to say,
he won the game!
The nigga took them to the goddamn finals by himself. He had like Mo Williams and Andre Valero on his team. He had no fucking help, and he took that team all the way to the goddamn finals. He needed help. You can't just do the shit by your, it's a team sport. This ain't fucking golf or fucking MMA or something like that. No, it's a team sport. He didn't have a goddamn team. He was the only fucking person. So it drives me nuts the way people hate on LeBron. I got nothing but love for LeBron. Speaking of, also to the King.
Really fast, things to, for people that people kind of hate. And you mentioned fucking, what's the drag queen's name? Dennis Rodman. Did y'all give a shit when he was being flown out to North
to Korea? What are you doing?
What kind of dumbass moron shit? Like if you're going to be socially... Like, if you got, like, if you're a conscious person and you got an idea what's going on and you... What,
to be fair, he's drunk most of the time, though.
This is the wrong battle to be, like... Man, if that...
He pretty much got paid to be the Harvey Wolf Trotters out there.
That energy could have gone somewhere else, though. That's all I'm saying. Like, yeah. Man, that's fucking Korea. Why don't you... Yeah, an attention whore.
He could have done some things.
Peoples, you getting the network?
Oh, hell yeah. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up because, me being the wrestling nerd I am, I never get to bring up too much wrestling, but I will say that, for those who...
Why can't we do that?
For, wait, what? For people who don't know... For people who don't know, on Monday, WWE is launching their network, which will be similar to Netflix, where for $10 a month, you'll basically have access to just about any bit of wrestling that has ever came out, for the most part, in a Netflix-type format. And
right.
Is that what you posted on your Facebook earlier? Is that what that network thing was? I didn't...
Oh, yeah, because I got it on my PS3. And, I guess Monday when I sign up, I'll be able to activate it, but I downloaded it. And I went to WWE.com and got her, and my password, I don't remember what it was. I haven't been on there. I had an unofficial, like, 7-year boycott on WWE.com. But I got to get over that shit now. So yeah. I went there today, registered, you know, so all I got to do on Monday is go order, here's my information, now give me that shit. Cause I'm anticipating like when these things drop, it's gonna be some kind of,
it's gonna be nothing but bugs. It's gonna be an issue that first day.
They got the professionals, they got the infrastructure, we talked about this on the East Coast cast, they got the infrastructure, the MLB TV people, not TV people are the ones that built their infrastructure.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's a really good, you go to their app, it's fluid, it's real good, man.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, oh, I got the WWE app on my phone, because through that you'll just be able to hit purchase. So I'm selling out. I really had to, you know, but of course, I mean, for this deal, for $10 a month, and again, it's not just Netflix and how you get access to all on-demand stuff. You can't forget they got that live. It's something always will be on, like a TV station. Something will always be on. Will it be garbage and crap?
Who knows?
Sure. But that library and the fact that they're offering all the pay-per-views, including WrestleMania, it's just like, how the hell do you pass this up?
Yo, like I said a few weeks ago, I don't know if it was on Twitter or Instagram, I was like, Vince McMahon, you could take my fucking money now and just give me the app when the shit is ready. Take my motherfucking money now, because that's actually the thing.
But they've been taking our money, you know, if you buy
pay-per-view.
Now it's just like, pay-per-views that were $50, $60 a month, now I just got to pay $10 a month, and I get that plus all the every pay-per-view in history. Yes. All of, you know, Raw and SmackDown, all that shit. Like, wow.
See, and the thing that is real, and I know Popo is like, they just geeking out over some wrestling.
I was going to say, there's some geekery going on right about now. But I was a wrestling fan, but it died when NWO died.
Oh, see,
that's
this
how far back it go. And you know why? Because there's only one spick in there, Conan.
Oh, motherfucking Conan was my nigga, though. Yo, right. But what I'm so excited about the network, for the, people who don't know, like, okay, I followed wrestling. I saw the entire Monday Night Wars and all that. I saw the last episode of WCW Nitro when Vince bought it out and all that. But I end up moving out of the house before the invasion angle started. And so from just before the invasion angle all the way until the build up of WrestleMania 26, I missed the majority of wrestling. I missed a gang of shit. So I'm excited that now I can go back and see all the shit that I fucking miss. And like, I laugh at like the people who follow wrestling hard, the hardcore internet fans, they hate fucking John Cena with a passion and all that. And they're go, you know, Cena go away, seen enough and all that. And I sympathize with the people because I've only been back with the product for like 4 years now. And I'm sick of this motherfucker. I couldn't imagine if I caught that first 6-7 years of all that shit. I missed the majority of Cena's run, and I'm so sick.
And you missed the part where the hate started.
Yeah, like, I don't even know where it started. I just started watching.
He turned babyface at the end of 03, and then he was like the babyface champion on SmackDown for a few years, and then he went to Raw in 05, and basically went into like this 6 month feud where he beat Kurt Angle like 817 times. Okay. And it was the most ridiculous, because it wasn't John Cena now that could have like a 4-star match with anybody. It was John Cena that, you know, really threw sloppy punches, who really couldn't wrestle, and he was beating Kurt fucking Angle. Pay-per-view after pay-per-view, and people were just like, this is bullshit. And
that
that's where
makes sense now. Okay.
I hate like the genesis of it. That was, where it started.
And it just fucking swelled, and all I gotta say is I am down.
And he stopped with his rapper gimmick, and stopped wearing the throwback jerseys, and he became a WWE corporate whore. With
the corporate guy, future. I'm the...
But,
yeah.
You know, hey, motherfuckers, that's a revenue generating, like, you know, for him and for the company. You want to stop wearing, like in his lyrics, he said, "You never catch me in the next man's sweater." That was at the same time where he stopped wearing throwback jerseys. Started wearing his own. I think that's what that line meant.
And that's why, like, I have the utmost respect for Cena, and I do think that he deserves to be the face of the company. Like, the motherfucker is serious that he lives and breathes that shit, and so I'm not That's all he does, and he has no intentions on having fucking kids or anything like that. He's a WWE man till he can't do it anymore. So I'm not mad at him being at the top. I have the utmost respect for him, but at the same time, fuck John Cena. I got a love and hate relationship with him. Love and hate.
I hate for the white man. It was the last time I remember hearing him when he actually rapped, and it was not even, I don't call it semi-decent, but it was on Murs. You heard the rapper Murs?
Oh, Murs, okay.
Yeah.
He did a remix on one of his songs. I'm like, what the fuck's this guy doing there? But then again, he had some random fucking Bina rapper named Chingo Bling on there.
Bling, I ain't heard him in a while.
E-40, fucking E-40. Yeah. In a minute, so I don't know if it was just a phase of people who are just dying away.
Successful rapper. Ever.
Yes.
I don't give a fuck what you think about the one with the ashy lips, he's terrible and all that kind of stuff. But E-40, for somebody to, God, he's awful. Oh my God.
This is one line, and my buddy Chris, who's a hardcore scream rock guy, he listens, the only rap he listens to are like some of the worst shits, and it's the reason why I think he hates it so much. But there's this one song, and I forget what it's even called, but he has this line where he goes like, "We're fucking on the couch," and that's just our little running joke when we see each other, "Fucking on the couch. you know he has that pronunciation thing.
Yeah, that's what I think, why I really hate him. It's like, you don't have to talk like that.
Yeah.
You're being a clown. And
let the professionals die.
His best song ever, not that I have listened to all the songs, but is the
Slangin' Yayo?
No, Big Ballin' With My Homies, which was a posse on Broadway.
Oh, okay.
Cover, not cover, but remake, you know.
No, my favorite E-40 song was that I Hope I Don't Go Back to Slangin' Yayo. I love that fucking record. That is the only, and I hope that was E-40, because I was in fucking grade school or high school when that shit came out. But that is my favorite E-40 song. But that's another thing. E-40, Tech N9ne, both of them, I'm not really followers of their music. But I have none but respect for what they built. And they built that organically by themselves by just working hard. I got none but love for them.
And unlike E-40, I don't know if Dre loved Tech N9ne, but I don't think he has a regional fan base, but E40, man, you can't. I wouldn't go to Oakland staying that shit.
Yeah.
Yo, and there's.
How horrible I think E40 is in San Francisco, because it might be somebody that'd be like, pussy, you know.
There is a story. I think I heard it on Juan Epstein. There's a story that Biggie and E40 had a little beef between the two of them, and Biggie got some show out in Oakland. They flew him out to Oakland. He showed up to the venue. It turned out to not be a fucking show. It was some goons that paid to fly Biggie out there and basically told the nigga, watch his mouth for what he had to say about E40. And let's just say the beef stopped at that note. So yeah, you don't fuck with E40. Yeah, you don't fuck with that nigga. So I guess on that note, I guess we'll call it a show. Good fucking show with my main man Trav Lord from the PW Torch East Coast cast, heard on Blog Talk Radio every Wednesday, and actually I don't know what is it, 6:30
to 8 Eastern, yeah. With the VIP overrun.
Fucks with my dude over there, and you could fuck with us. Our email once again is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. Questions, comments, any stories you want to hear us talk about, go ahead and email us. You can find us on the web, on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, a whole bunch of shit. Just at IBHM Podcast in the appropriate spot. Subscribe to us on Stitcher, iTunes, and on Google Hangouts. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican. If you're too lazy to do that, just head over to IBHMPodcast.com or to I'mBlackHe'sMexican.com, and you can find all of our links there. And so I guess on that note, we will call it a motherfucking show. So on that note, whoa!
Praise be to Jesus.
Emotions out on every single page and instrumental that I'm left with. Shit, I wonder, will I ever really feel shit? And if it all takes time, and I ask why, will time eventually reveal this? Cause
the remedy I'm searching for the remedy, cause I'm fucked up and my heart's just another ghost in my memories.
Knock real hard on real, real wood, things still feel bad when they real, real good. In my brain, just a vessel and the knowledge supposed to heal, but the more you fucking know, less things feel real.
Less things feel real. Then the time shifts and my mind shifts, and ain't really anyone or anything I can really vibe with, cause I'm searching, but I'm terrified that by the time I find what I'm looking for, I'll be dead inside.
Part-time love is a life round here, never done, never done, we never.